Alan Doherty Show, brought to you by the Errigal Arts Festival. From 4th to the 23rd of July, 20 days of family fun, music, theatre, circus, visual arts and more.
Well, that was a minute's silence for me leaving, I believe. I don't think. So there we are. We were a bit late starting due to a technical hitch. But anyway, hope there's no more between now and 1 o'clock. Delighted to be with you. Sad on this morning, my last show on Highland Radio. And it still seems a bit surreal. I can't really believe it. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the next 3 hours. I don't know what it's going to be like. I do know what the next hour is going to be like, pretty much, because I've got three old friends in to do the newspapers. And we're going to have a busy time with that. So, the lines are open for your calls and comments. And Mary Hart and Christy Galligan and Pat McCart, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Sean.
Sean, where are you dressed up?
Never mind.
Well, you never dress for radio.
A lovely jacket.
Why, that's right, mate.
You've been here for years and I've never seen you.
I like the coif, though. I love the coif and the hair. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
He's got
nice.
A lovely shirt on. Yeah.
Actually, Stevie McGlinchey put up a picture last night on Facebook. Did you see it, Mary? And he had a picture of me broadcasting in a shirt and tie when I was about 20. They were the days.
They were the days,
when you used to dress up.
You're trying to make impression. Yeah, no. You don't need to
And then people come in and they say, God bless, is that him? Look at that.
Somebody looks like somebody really looks like.
You'd think you'd dress up, wouldn't you, for radio? Anyway, I'm glad to see none of you have dressed up. With
No. We want to be casual today, Sean.
You didn't want to outlook me, did you?
No.
Anyway, good morning to you. And let's start out with the newspapers. Look, obviously a lot of serious stuff to get through newspaper-wise this morning. So where are we starting, Mary?
Well, I suppose having gone through third-level education in the past year at Galway University, I'm quite taken with the headline in the Irish Times today, which says that colleges, third-level colleges, face significant penalties for misusing taxpayers' money. Now, that's, first of all, you think immediately that they're guilty of something really bad. But when you actually look at what has been called this Wild West approach by third-level institutions, what they're actually doing is that they're staffing levels where they shouldn't be, that they're kind of giving more money to some of their staff outside of pay agreements. But basically what I would take out of this is that the third level institutions are doing their very best to give a third level proper education, as opposed to being tied with their hands tied behind their back financially or just guidelines alone. That said, third level colleges in Ireland do get $1.5 billion each year of a subvention, which is correct because it allows people to attend third level institutions. If you were in America, you'd be paying $40,000-$50,000 to get a year. And I was in college with a university students from America who came to Ireland because they could get a master's in Ireland for €12,000, and they would have to be paying about $40,000 for it if they were in America. So really, what they're now proposing is, which would concern me, is that universities should be giving value, as it's called, value for money from the government, and that courses should be more skills-based for particular industries. Now, that would scare the living daylights out of me in terms of how to telling third-level institutions that unless you provide a skill. So it's really about education. Like, third-level is about education. It's not about getting a skill. And that's where, you know, the rough and tumble comes in here. I actually would think that third-level institutions should not be told what they can and can't do. That's my view.
Sean, one of the problems I think is a lot of the third-level institutions, they get money from various, you know, donors and sponsors and stuff like that. And apparently some of them were hiding that money to pay, you know, gratuities and increased salaries and all the rest of it. Yet, you know, and apparently when the taxmen and the revenue and all the people did their examinations, they discovered the universities were a lot better off than they were originally claiming. And one of the things, of course, there entirely, as Mary's already alluded to, they were paying people not in accordance with the rules of, you know, civil service and all the rest, which are the staff at academia, they've all the rest. So I suppose the thing about it is, in the coming years, they're now going to declare everything, and everybody's going to have to watch everything. So it's back to the rules and regulations for everybody. You know, remember the charity sector, for years the people were getting overpaid and nobody knew what was happening. Well, the same was happening apparently or allegedly at universities. So I presume this is part of the whole crackdown.
And Christy.
Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
On the Irish Independent today, it said, don't pay workers the old age pension until they turn 70. And this is where people should not get the state pension until they reach the age of 70, the country's leading economic think tank says. Moving the statutory retirement age to 70 will counter a fall in the workforce and the rise in the number of pensioners, the ESRI said. Now, that's a great idea, maybe for some, maybe not for others. We've seen people retiring at the age of 65, going in job seekers, and then getting the old age pension at 66. They're trying to push that out year on year to 70 years of age. Now, I mean, yes, there's a huge dearth of quality. When people retire, you know, you have all that experience and know-how that it retires at the age of 65. 65 is now the 55. The new 65 is the 65.
Yeah, we will say that.
We will say that.
However,
now.
It is. No, I think
but
this
I mean,
is true.
At the same time.
It's going to be 67, though, isn't it?
Up to 67, 66, yeah. Going on to 67. Yeah. They're trying to push it out to 68, and the following year is 70, out to 70. But I was speaking to builders the last day where they were saying, well, you know, guys who are 65 and 66 in the building trade, you know, carpenters, brickies, they're not going to be able to put up, you know, they're self-employed. They're not going to be able to work on until they're 70. You know, they might want to retire, but we were talking about certain areas and even within the civil service as well where people can still work on to their ages. But does that preclude young people from entering into the workforce then by having people stay on longer? It might reduce your pension bill, but it might not help those who
people are living a lot longer, Sean. Like, for instance, I was on the West Highland Way with a guy there recently. It's a 100 miles walk, and it's up you know, some serious climbs. One of the guys with us was 70, and he completed it no bother, and all the rest of it. Like, sort of 70 is the new 60, and there's a lot of skills. Like, as Mary said off air, there's a lot of experience being thrown away by people, you know, just because you reach a certain age doesn't mean, you know, you stop being productive, you know?
Yeah, I was actually listening to a very good piece by Olivia Leary the last day on radio, and she was flagging up that very point, that you are retiring out huge skill bases in this country that other countries have reckoned that you should not, that you should keep people in the workforce as long as possible. Maybe not to being in charge, like the CEO of a big company having to retire at 65. That person has huge knowledge base and skill base and experience. So a sideway move for those people actually really should be what's considered, and then allowing the younger people to percolate up. So it's not really, as Christy pointed out, it's not really debarring people from you know, moving into the workforce or moving up the workforce, because as we know, somebody sitting at the top for years say, oh, that person, we're not going to stay in this company because we'll never get to the top. However, you know, there should be some sort of an issue that you can and should be encouraged to stay on, or encourage companies for people to stay on. And as we know, I mean, 65 is young nowadays. You know, it's you know, health wise, people are living longer, so therefore,
probably
looking after our health.
Probably really happen in the Gardaí.
Well,
teachers.
Hang on. Nobody should get a pension until their pension age, guards, teachers, politicians included.
True. Well, you know, I think so. You know, I think people should be encouraged to stay in the workforce. Certainly, you know, hearing a guard retiring, Christy, you're better qualified, obviously, than me to talk about this. But, you know, being told that when you're in your 50s that you've served your time.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
You know,
that doesn't make sense.
In America, in New York, police go 20 years. Service. They can go a 20-year service. They can stay on till 30-year service, but they can go a 20-year service.
With a full
and
pension.
That's because because of the frontline position that they're in, where you're dealing with constant aggravation or stress or whatever you want to call it, each and every day. But one of the big things here is, how do we pay in years to come for an expanding older generation? How do we pay for that? Where does that money come from?
Well, in Germany, they're already in big problems because apparently you're supposed to, for every person on a pension, you're supposed to, I think it's 3 or 3.5 people working. In Germany, they're already down to 1.5. So, in other words, a lot of Germans never had kids. They're now retiring. So the younger people are coming behind them. They're already, one of the reasons Merkel allowed in a million Turks, refugees, that recently was because they need a workforce. You know, so as Christie's point is well made. In a couple of years' time, if it keeps going the way it's going, we're going to have a major problem. There are going to be so few working, but they're going to have to pay for all the services for those who are retired.
Yeah, that's it. That's a big problem for us. And actually, you know, we'll see in the budgets to come where there's going to be an increase in taxes, where they'll have to cater for older people and the older generation.
And I think, and also a point that is missed a lot in a lot of these discussions is the level of depression that sets in when people are forced to leave a job that they've been in for a very long time, that they're comfortable with, and they have not planned to do anything else. So it's really an issue of, you know, why should people, because somebody has an arbitrary year of 65 that you should leave your work, you should really be leaving it when you're no longer really productive and you feel like that you're also not
even
productive.
If you do leave the job, that you should be able to contribute in some other way, in some other job.
Yeah.
Like you have the skill sets to deal with, do something else other than just retire and that's it.
Okay. Well, Pat was pointing at me there, but because people think when you're leaving, you're retiring, don't they? But I'm not quite. For goodness sake, what do they want? People to drop into the grave an hour after finishing work. Life is for living, not just for working.
Totally,
yeah,
absolutely.
But I mean, you know, life is for living, and you can get so much enjoyment out of life if you want to live. But at the same time, you need that little, a little pillar to help you move forward.
Sean, I retired the first time, because I've retired, I'm like Frank Sinatra, but I retired the first time when I was, I think, 52. Like, but I'd already done editor of the Derry Journal for 25 years, and I'd reached the stage, I've got to admit, I was bored. I was doing and I wasn't doing the job properly in my own head, because every time somebody came into the office, I already heard the story. I knew what was happening. I'd got to the stage that I wasn't switched on the way it was when I was years earlier. So I needed someone to change. I could have swanned on till 65 probably, but I wasn't doing myself any good. So I think we need to change lives and things like, see, when you reach a certain age, maybe it's not a bad thing. Christy retired early, Mary retired early.
Yeah. I mean, I was the same as you, Pat. Where? You know, I had, and you probably had the same similar experience in that. I mean, I retired from my job with BBC when I was about 55, and even though I continued to work on, like, on a freelance basis, but my job, like, the reason why was because it began to be less stimulating because I had been there, done that. But also, I needed to be challenged in another way. Yeah. So, you know, it's the personal choice. There are people who want to get out of the workforce, but there are also people who have a lot to offer staying in the workforce, and they're the ones that shouldn't be forced out.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, it's all very interesting. The three of you into retirement, but not quite. I mean, you've been really active, and that's the point. Now, it's very difficult for some people to get active. I mean, you were all in, well, you were in journalism, you were in the Gardaí, you've lots of contacts, you carried on doing newspaper stuff, you carried on doing this kind of stuff, and you did as well, Mary. Christy, you were in the Guard, you'd made a lot of contacts, so what did you do straight after?
Well, I sat looking
you came on doing this as well.
I came on to do this on Friday morning, which was great.
We should be the retirement club.
Well, we should have, actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You've just opened up a new, I'm thinking about it now. When I retired then, I sat across the table from my good wife and on a computer, and she says, no, you're not going to sit across from me doing nothing. So I was always one, I wasn't afraid of work. I like work and I don't mind work. But so I had my own PI for a while there, private investigation firm for a while. And then I went in to do other things, and now I'm chairman of the We Care, food bank here in Letterkenny, and we help a lot of people in need. So that gives me an outlet as well. And you're involved in writing and doing other things, and I'm involved in the Northwest poetry and things like that. There it just gives you,
but just how important is it for people who are, you know, retiring, whether they be 70 or 60 or whatever they are, that they do something else, you know, that they don't just think, well, I'll just do the garden?
I think it's in you. If you're that kind of person that, you know, loves to work and
are the opportunities there for people?
Yes, there are. I mean, I'm involved in an awful lot, far too many, like voluntary organizations, on the board of, or, on committees and driving different issues. And they play up to the skills that I have acquired over the years as a journalist and as, you know, like a media, and I would understand things. So there are, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're sitting at home saying, what am I going to do now? There is that, but if it's in you, and most people who have been in the workforce for most of their adult life, it is still in them to go off and do things. Now, some people will pick, choose to do golf or, you know, those kind of activities. That's not me, but I am. I sometimes think I haven't enough hours in the day to get through the things that I'm doing. Yet, you know, that's
so the other big issue, of course, is if people haven't got the income. Like,
and the other thing, Sean, I thought you were going to say it, that's a choice. Being told you have to work to 70 is not
a choice.
It's not a choice.
No.
You know,
and people had ideas that look, I'm going to retire, then I've worked hard all my life, and then I'm going to enjoy my family, and I'm going to do this and do that, and then they're suddenly told, hang on, you can't do that. Then you're not going
to
be able to
stay on for. Say if you're retired 16, you have to stay till 70. Yeah. And then what sets in then is a grievance. Feel grieved at the fact that you're being pushed in, and you're going to sit back and do nothing.
They're waiting for me just to drop into the grave when I retire. Yeah, you know, that's not very fair. So, but the realities are that people are living longer
and healthier.
Yeah. And the medications are all so much better. So somebody's going to pay for it.
Okay, and you can all wave at the camera now. Hello!
Hey.
Hello. We're live on Facebook on the various Sean Doherty Show, Highland Radio.
Sport.
What are you saying, Caroline? Donegal TV. Donegal TV as well. Hello, everybody. Hello, Donegal TV. Hello, Highland Radio.
I was going to sing the start of the Late Late Show. It started on Sean Doherty's show.
There you go. Thank you very much.
We need a picture of you when you actually started on Highland. That's right. That great picture of you with your shirt and tie, she said.
Young and fresh.
Wasn't the first
day. You still
day.
Look the same. The desk looks different. That's all. The technology has changed.
And maybe we'll be going to Specsavers after this.
Listen. Anyway. Can we get back to stories? The idea of a demographic time bomb in relation to pensioners is ridiculous, says a caller. The facts are that with increased robotization and artificial intelligence, there'll be far fewer jobs for everyone. There needs to be a longer-term view which considers a guaranteed basic income for everyone as being seriously considered in the likes of Finland, etc. The government needs to consider how large companies, global corporations, should be paying more taxes, but this would be a step too far, says Niall in Milford.
Well, the other side of that is people will be asked then to invest in private pensions. More people will be asked to invest in private pensions as opposed to waiting for the state pension.
Well, Finland, are they going for 800 a month, a guaranteed pension for everyone? You know, but the point about robotisation is what is it, fate in Italy? But 20 years ago, had 4,000 people in a factory in Turin, and now apparently someone like 200. The robots do all the work.
Well, which I think is absolutely correct, because who wants to be stuck in a factory with a bolt constantly every day? Yeah. So the job skills that are able to be done by robots, those people within the workforce will find something else. We have a new platform, so to speak, of jobs in the world now, because with you know, the internet and with the social media, there are people carrying on businesses from their own kitchen. I just heard the story this week about the people who the fairies that you have in your house. Now, that was two couples who started that. That's a 3 billion or 3 million or whatever, 3 million turnover now. And they're those little fairies that everybody in the little fairy door, and you get a pack. And, you know, so people are being imaginative, creative. There are new and different types of job away from the factory. So we're kind of seeing, I suppose, what happened during the Industrial Revolution. You know, those jobs no longer exist. So we're now maybe moving into the zone of perfectly so that if a robot can do it, let them do it. People have intelligence of their own, and they will then use that intelligence to something that's rewarding to them rather than being stuck somewhere just to get a wage. You know, they will find a level. Now, it is not also, there's this belief that it's up to governments to create jobs. Yes, it is, to ensure that job creation is there and the facility to do it. But often you shouldn't be depending on some, you know, other being to start looking at creating the jobs. The initiative really should often come within organisations, within people themselves, and that's where you get the most productive.
Okay, well, this caller says, everyone should have a choice when it comes to working. I have no choice. I am a carer. and I'm not considered a worker. I only get a social welfare payment. I just felt I needed to have some input into your last show. So there you go, carers. Do we appreciate carers?
I don't
carers?
Think... I mean, I know from Jimmy Hart and the carers that came around, did a great job with Jimmy, and I meet carers every day around the houses here in Letterkenny, and they come down to the food bank there to help out with other people. And the work that they do is just tremendous. You just don't see what they do. And they get paid minimal wage for the work that they do. And nobody appreciates the work that they do. They have to go into a house and they have to lift somebody up. They have to clean somebody or wash somebody, feed them, come back. And they're left... And their hours have been depleted over a period of time now. They're just coming in for half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening. And some will stay on out of their own bat for an extra hour. So they're not appreciated, and I think the carers need to be better looked after.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely,
and also,
yeah.
I mean, personal carers, family carers.
Yes, that's the issue. Yeah. There are people, you know, at home as the primary carer of a spouse, and that is... a very, very difficult task, a very difficult job. They absolutely get no recognition. When I say recognition, I mean no benefits from the state to help them through that. They get a respite amount for once a year so that they get time to get away or get a break.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly believe that a carer... that should be a profession, a proper profession. It should be properly paid. It should be properly monitored. And certainly to get people away from having the decision to put a loved one into a home or into a hospital, that the best place for someone is to be at home and in their surroundings where they're happy. And if you have the carers in the home, therefore that happens. And it's less pressure on hospitals, less pressure on
everything. There's growing numbers with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of people have maybe young kids and a parent that needs... So they're caught between no two stools, to put it another way.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's a serious stress. And yet society pays very little attention to those people.
Yes, it's always a vulnerable that will be pushed to one side.
You know, it's a huge decision for anybody who's a carer. A husband or a wife, they're looking after them, and you come to that age where you can't look after them anymore, and you have the carers coming in the morning or the afternoon, but you're there all day with them, 24/7. So that's a big, and they're not appreciated, I have to say, they're not appreciated.
Yeah, and there was an excellent documentary on RT recently, and it may have been a repeat, and I can't remember the name of the presenter.
We must look after Dad or something?
Yes, we have to talk about Dad. It was excellent because it showed the absolute mire that it is to try and figure out the financial,
the fair deal.
No one can get their head around what do you have to give up your family home in order to have your
and not even those who are supposed to enforce it.
By the way, I think the thing in Ireland too, the bureaucracy has gone crazy. In fact, it almost seems deliberately so to put people out of the scheme. What do you call her? It escapes me. The nun was on yesterday, my wife was on about it this morning, about the fact that she says that the whole system is now
Sister Stan.
Apparently she was on yesterday, said there are genuine cases where people, you know, but the bureaucracy, the red tape has got so much now that people just lose the will to live trying to get through it.
Next story,
threat from the new IRA now is worse since ceasefire. The Garda Security Supremo Michael Sullivan has warned that the new IRA poses the biggest terrorist threat from dissident Republicans on these islands in two decades. We understand this has been going on, you know, since the IRA ceasefire in 94. There have been those dissident groups like Ogling the Heron and all of those, Real IRA, you know, and there are dissident groups. They're a very small cohort, and a lot of them have been infiltrated anyway by the security services anyway, and they fight amongst themselves as well. They're a very dispersed group, you know. They don't really have much, but they're dangerous, you know, and their technology, the advancement in technology in relation to explosives and the seizure of by the Gardaí over a period of time in relation to bombs, AK-47, sniper rifles over the last number of years is a worrying trend. But not only that, but it's a worrying trend when you talk about then the ISIS situation from, you know, Islamic extremists from abroad or those who've decided to fight for ISIS and come back home. And you wonder, have we got enough monitoring because of the reduction of members in the intelligence service? And I've been a big advocate for an independent intelligence service for years, that it shouldn't just be left to one policing organisation to do everything, that there should be a separate intelligence service that monitors, keeps an eye on with their operatives, covert or overt operatives, working in tandem with the policing service, but not everything to be in the one pile of the policing service.
Christy, one of the worst things, you know, what is it they say? Everything grows in a vacuum. See the Northern Peace Process, things have become so polarised. there are certain people who have never accepted the ceasefire, never will, and they're the people, but they, because of things were going forward, they had no groundswell of support. See if the northern situation keeps going, and I think there's a sort of almost a carelessness in certain members of the Dublin government. Things in the north have never, just because the absence of war doesn't mean you have peace, and I think there's a lot of people sitting waiting, so the sooner they get a stormont and things back up in the north running again, these people disappear. When they have no, when there's nothing happening, they can feed on people.
But it'd be funny enough, somebody said the last day, there was a gentleman I met the last day, he says, you know this, he says, well, with no MLAs in sitting in Stormont, it was the quietest orange parade. There was no real violence or interface violence.
But I think, though, it is worrying to read that this threat from this, what they're now calling the new IRA, that the Garda rating level is the second highest rating level, which, you know, listed as severe. It is a severe threat, a worrying threat. Let's not be foolhardy to think, you know, when we look back at, as Pat and Christy, you know, well, we both worked in Northern Ireland. We know that it's still a tinderbox. Mm-hmm. There's not an awful lot different for those in the working class areas on both sides that has changed. There's not a lot of difference between now and, we'll say, in the mid-70s, when there are young people saying, I'm fed up with this, I want something to do, I'll join this organisation. All it takes is some one issue to set those people against each other in a big way. And, we could never have envisaged the extent, or that there would have been 30 years of IRA violence
campaign
for 30 years. What is to stop a new organisation garnering that level of support, the sophistication, and it is worrying. And
yeah,
so
but do you think would the appetite be there now? I mean, it took more than just a few people to be upset. We were talking about a support and a proportionate support, large proportional support. Yeah. Even if it wasn't vocalised, people supported, you know, certain actions of Republicans, like punishment shootings and all of that, because they weren't supportive of the police at the time. So that kind of landscape has changed, hasn't
Sean,
it, to a large extent?
Is a good one. There's, you go into places like Shantalo, Gaia, and Boxhead and Derry. Where are the jobs?
I appreciate that, but that
provides the breeding ground.
But does it necessarily provide the breeding ground for people to get involved in that type of activity, or just antisocial activity?
Now, like, things have changed. The policing situation is different. The political situation is different, and all the rest. But hey, there was, a couple of years back, there was a meeting in Derry called under the aegis of some innocuous organisation, but it was dissidents. 600 people showed up at it. That's a worry. Don't anybody kid yourself.
You have to remember that a lot of the dissidents and their supporters, and they have a couple of hundred supporters, are both here in Donegal and Louth and places like that, along the border areas as well. And they're still, and it's young people that are getting involved in it as well. They're brought into that because they're disaffected by something or another.
Yeah, and they don't know what it was like, you know, because someone, when I mentioned this the last day to a colleague of mine, and they said, but there won't be the appetite to go back to that. I said, but those young people who are now in their 30s, almost, they don't know any of this, and they don't know how awful it was and how dark it was.
Sean was 1990. Like, there's a whole generation. In fact, I was driving past with somebody who's well into their 20s, maybe even 30s, at Koshkwan, and says, what used to be here? And I thought, wait a minute, a checkpoint was here for you. And then I realised that person, they don't even remember the checkpoints.
And also, you know, your point on the support within communities, there wasn't the support broad sweep for the IRA campaign, but there was fear. There was fear within the communities that they would not go to the police. That fear was, if you dare report something that you've seen or report anything to anybody. So everybody kept their mouth shut and stayed out of it.
If you were to speak to people now and talk to them in terms of support for violence as an end, that would have changed enormously, enormously. Mm-hmm. And that's been the big change, hasn't it?
But I don't think, you know, I actually don't believe that people believe that violence was the way forward. The IRA were carrying out a campaign that did not have the support of the majority of the nationalist community in Northern Ireland. And let's make no mistake about that. They had absolutely no support other than within their own ranks across the Republic. In fact, the opposite. But it was very difficult to get that message across. The support that they had, they ruled by a bomb and a bullet and an ECAP and you know, a shooting of one of their own.
Mary, no. Like the old one in Derry, if you see a young fella running from the police and you've got the door, do you shut the door or do you leave it open? You try that test, and you know, and I did one day in the journal, and about 80% said no, they'd leave the door open. And I thought, wait a minute, you know, it's this thing that the IRA have no support or all the rest. Now, by the way, I agree with you. Most people didn't like violence, but there was an anger and a sort of resentment about the Northern State that kept that going.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There was an alienation within the nationalist community from the state, and they are not any longer alienated from that nationalist state.
Okay, local papers to see what's happening there.
Okay. Donegal News. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, well, it says thumbs up from Sean the Doc.
Is that me?
That's
Sean the Doc.
Sean the Doc.
Just so we don't make it up here, just to prove we don't make it up when we're doing paper reviews here.
People often wonder about that, because in Letterkenny, it's more Letterkenny that people would have called me Sean the Doc, and people still say, oh, what was the Doc chatting about today? And that's because John Logue, who was Big John, was on DCR, and he was called Big John. And somebody said, can we give Sean, you know, everyone had a kind of nickname, and he came up with Sean the Doc. So that's sort of stuck, and that's where that comes from.
Well, I suppose this is my opportunity and our opportunity to... I'm not going to sing your praises, Sean, because everybody's doing that, but I really will have to say, you know, because I've worked in broadcasting myself, I've worked in radio myself for a long, long number of years, and I have to just say that your skills as a presenter and an interviewer are exceptional, a rare talent, because many people do not have those skills. There are few and far between. It speaks for itself, the audience that you have managed to bring to Highland Radio. The daily output from you, everyone talks, that's the news of what was on the Sean Doherty show today, and that's totally and absolutely down to you. That's not saying that Caroline and
Kira
sit there and do nothing. They do. They're the people that set the agenda for you in the days, but you're the person behind the mic that asks the questions, and you certainly have an amazing ability to get the best out of people, even when you are getting the you know, you're having a go at somebody, but you do it in such a way that the person sometimes isn't even aware that you're doing it, and that in itself is a rare skill, and I know that. So I would like to wish you very very much a very fruitful and fulfilling and challenging career ahead, and from myself, and of course Peter Nolan, who's my husband, and not that I would think that many people know that. So he too has been one of the people in here in the studio with you, and he also would like to wish you all the very best.
Thanks, Mary.
Absolutely, and I can only agree with that, because I heard some of your interviews recently, including Mary and Jimmy, and there was a great humanity shown in relation to that. You showed, you know, you just have all the skills that any presenter. I called you the Terry Wogan of the Northwest. You know, because you are the Northwest to a lot of people, because people, you know, they turn on they just want to hear the Sean Doherty show. No disrespect to any of the rest of the presenters, morning and afternoon, but they just want to hear the Sean Doc show. And really, you've shown that great skill and humanity over the years, and it has been a pleasure to sit opposite you, Sean. I mean, I remember I was a guard in Burnfoot, and there was a Garda program. You used to have a Garda program on patrol. And I remember being asked,
the culprits left the bike.
And I used to go up here, I'd be sweating, and I'd have a list of things I could say or I couldn't say. I was restricted from what I could and couldn't say. But you always made it so easy for us, you know. Yeah. And you'd probably reveal more.
Me. Look who has arrived.
Yeah.
If it isn't my old friend, John the Mac.
John, how are you?
Where's Facebook, John?
He's looking good.
You,
He's getting younger. You were saying...
Sean, I think we go back a very,
Christy,
very long...
thank you very much for that.
We go back a long time, Sean. I think we did the first interview way back somewhere in the 80s somewhere. But no, Sean, I think that Mary and Christy have said basically everything. I think one thing in radio, that you have that very few, most people want to talk over someone else. I think your biggest skill by some considerable distance, your ability to listen. And that, you know, in radio, sometimes that is the, you let people tell their own stories. What does they say in music? You should let the singer sing.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a big background. You kept it simple, and simplicity is, I think, greatness. Sean, I certainly will miss you, and it's been I've thoroughly enjoyed our meetings every Friday morning. And as you know, I totally disagree with you in just about everything.
I know.
Yeah. But, Sean, I think the station will be the purr for your going, and I think I wish you all the best in the years ahead.
Well, I want to bring the old pal John in here, because John's no stranger to newspapers, the Chicano Tribune editor. And John, great to see you with the camera today, and I've got many good memories. So many good memories of John. And I must say, John, throughout the time that I've been here, wrote such nice things about me and about the show, and he came to all the Christmas shows and he did all the nice things, and it meant a lot to me anyway, and I'm so happy to see you here today.
We had so many huge controversies. Mary and Pat will remember Christine Mighton, because he was a senior garda at the time. That we were individually doing the show, that there was just one on one.
Yes.
And the rows and the controversies, and you had this innate ability. Pat was talking very well about your skills. There's this undefinable quality that sets somebody out, and you've had that in bucketfuls. But you had this amazing ability. You know, you could see a controversy long before any of us would, and you gently stoked the fire till it became an inferno.
I'm from Stoke, you see.
And you're from Stoke. And that was another part of your appeal. But the bit that amazed me all the time about somebody like Sean, and I'm still talking to you, but talking about you at the same time, you know, to think that at the beginning of any given week, that you came walking in here with a sheet of paper, probably half a script, and you had to cover 60 topics for that week. Now, the kind of diversity that was in those topics, how anybody was fit to sustain the kind of interest and the enthusiasm that you brought to the show was something that was something that made you stand out. And I remember the very first time I met you, it was at some function out in the Mount Airigle Hotel, and I was introduced to you. I still can't remember, but Packy Bradley, Sean was lounging on the stairwell, and he had this old grandfather shirt with no collar on it, and this slim red tie. And Packy Bradley turned to me and he says, "You know, that boy stands out from the crowd, and you have certainly stood out from the crowd, and you came here.
Absolutely.
So well done to you. Very best of luck.
Lovely to see you. Thank you. And Pat, thanks very much. I think that's where we're leaving the newspaper review today. To all of our newspaper reviewers, it's been my pleasure having you in here.
Thank you, Sean.
And making this slot so special over the years, all of you and all of those who are not here who are listening and maybe not listening today, your contribution has been incredible to this show, and long may it continue in the next show as well.
Thank you very much, Sean.
And thanks to our very special guests doing the newspaper review there, Christy and Mary and Pat, and great to see John McAteer as well. He's with us for a wee while. He's taking a few snaps too. The Donegal News, as I say, that nice little write-up on the show. Thank you very much to everybody in the Donegal News for your great support as well over the years, and Harry and everybody, and some nice sections inside. Declan Doherty did some picture, and it's a couple of lovely sections inside on the show as well, so thanks very much for that. The Derry Journal today has got, "Why is nobody listening?" and is showing councillors have renewed their calls for a dedicated member of the council planning service to be based in the Inishowen area. Figures presented to members of the Inishowen Municipal District Council at Tuesday's monthly meeting show that in the 4 months until the end of April, the council planning department received 218 applications from Inishowen, whereas it only had 125 applications from Stranorna. Okay.
The show, weekdays from 10 to 1, with all that matters across the Northwest.
Togu Dostashun, Highland Radio.
Studio. Oh my God, what a day. My heart's beating. Sean, come with me, my good friend. We walked many of the walks in Africa, and we're walking it's like the long mile here. Sean, I'm just delighted to be kind of helping you today on your program. I'm kind of going to be like your sidekick. You don't mind?
I don't mind at all, Lee. Why are we moving out of
Well, we got a surprise for you, Sean. It's not a celebration. We're not all happy that you're leaving. We're actually brokenhearted. We don't know if it's a wedding, a wake, or a funeral, or whatever it is. And we're going to miss you with all our heart and soul in that. You are the lion's heart of Highland Radio. And we have loads of people downstairs that have come to see you today and loads of emails. And we have a few surprises up with you, Sean. We could not let you away after 27 years. Just keep following me, Mr. Doherty. Sean, how do you feel yourself?
I feel very emotional.
Very emotional. I can only imagine. Well, we're going upstairs now. Upstairs, we have a few surprises for you. I'm going to be kind of steering, helping Sean with the program today. And we have loads of friends up here. And thank you for everybody that's tuning in. We're on Facebook Live, Highland Radio's website, all over. And we have, my God, Sean, because I nearly shed a tear myself. Paparazzi, Sean.
Dear me.
Come around, Sean. I know. We're here for Sean Doherty, Donegal's favourite son. And we have your sisters over from England. We have Sharon and Maria from Stoke, travelled last night. And we're just so delighted that everybody's here today. Such a special moment. We'll get you to grab a seat, Sean. It's a big day for everybody in Donegal. You're like a daddy to some people. You're like the son that nobody had, and you're just a great man, and we just love you to bits. And we've grown up with you over the years. And yeah, look at this. We're upstairs in Highland Radio. There's three video cameras going. We're live on Highland Radio's Facebook page, the website page. Please like and share what a man Mr. Doherty is. Sean, you're not here to sit. We got a bit of work for you to do. We're going to work you hard. We've got headphones for you. This is headphones. I'm only joking. And we have our microphone as well. And we're going straight to telephone calls, Sean. We have Daniel O'Donnell, ladies and gentlemen, and Sean and Magella O'Donnell on the line.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Hello, Daniel. Hello, Magella.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. It's a week, Sean. It's a week.
Oh, this has been... I'm coming to you, Daniel, after walking into this room. I knew nothing about this. We're upstairs.
Oh, well, listen...
My family are here, and it's very...
First of all, we're sorry we're not there in person. We had to be in Dublin today.
Yeah.
But we're delighted to get the opportunity to come on the phone. And just, Sean, first of all, when I heard you were finishing up, I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is just the worst thing I ever heard. But I wanted to thank you very much. I first met you at the Bonagie show. I don't know if you can remember. Were standing up on the corner. And do you remember that?
I remember it well.
And, you know, that was in the mid to late 80s. And I just wanted to say that you have been a wonderful... friend, not alone a help to me, but a great friend to both of us. Magella will talk in a minute, but all you have done for Donegal.
Everybody's
well.
Laughing now, Daniel. The audience is laughing.
And, you know, it's just, I know you're going to, whatever you're going on to, we wish you all the best, and to thank you very much for all you've done for myself and for Magella. And you know, I've listened to you in all sorts of places. I've texted you from Tenerife when you've been on doing the quizzes and different things. Just you've given so much entertainment and such a balanced view when you're doing different, very controversial things with people on your show down through the years. So thanks very much for everything. And I don't want to stay on because there's loads of people, but know that whatever you do in the future, our support is 100% behind you.
Thank you, Daniel. I remember you the first time, I think, either I was in denim or you were in denim, and that just shows how long ago it was.
Maybe we were both in denim.
I was saying...
You had a denim jacket, and I had the trousers. We wouldn't be able to afford a suit that time.
That was it. And I was thin, and you are still thin, so I must see what's happening. Take up singing, maybe. That might be...
No, but we both have our hair, so that's the main...
That's true. That's good.
Now, Sean, it's my turn.
Oh, Magella.
It's very strange for you today to have to just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
We're all praising you, and you're not getting much of the talking today. But I just wanted to thank you so much, Sean. I find you so incredibly easy to be interviewed by. You always have real, genuine interest in the subject that you're talking about, certainly with me. And I call in because I swear to God, I forget that I'm actually on radio. And it feels like the two of us are just in the room chatting. and you've really, really helped me, you know, with Donegal Mind Wellness, talking about depression and the cancer and all that kind of thing. And I definitely am going to miss you. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like without you, to be perfectly honest with you. And like I said, like Daniel said, whatever you do, we're here. If you ever need us, we're behind you 100%. And thank you so much for all the years that you've given us. We love you very much, Sean. So mind yourself.
I love you very much, both of you. And it sounds like I could be going on tour with Daniel and Magella. There you go.
You never know. Maybe we could do with a driver, because she's not great at the driving, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, Sean, listen, we don't want to take up too much of your time, but just good luck on whatever the future holds. And also good luck to Highland Radio, because it's just such a great service for our community, and we enjoy it so much. And from the music point of view, you and Highland Radio do so much for the entertainment scene. So thanks very much. And Sean, all the best, good health to you, and much happiness and much success, and enjoy whatever the future brings.
Thank you, Daniel.
God bless you.
Thank you, Magella. God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We have a good few surprises for you, and you deserve
it. I've seen some of them. Look who's there.
Well, Sean, we have loads of surprises for you, and you deserve every one of them, and you deserve a week of surprises, but more so. But we have a special surprise tribute from Donegal's very own World Multi Award winning singer songwriter Enya.
Hello, Sean. This is Enya. I'd like to wish you all the best on your retirement and all your plans for the future. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody, that was Enya. Give her a nice round of applause.
Oh, lovely.
And Sean, we have, I feel like Gay Byrne or somebody here. Look what we've got for signed album by Enya to Sean.
To Sean. Isn't that lovely? I really, really appreciate that. That is so
this great. Says to Sean, best wishes on your retirement. I don't think you're retiring too much, but it's lovely. And that's from Enya. It came in the post this morning.
I just can't believe that. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Enya. Thank you. That's very special.
So, Sean, I'm going to keep things going because we have a packed programme. But during the week, we've, as staff and members and good friends of Sean, we've been all trying to grab as much time as we can with him, because he's a good friend and a good colleague as well. And I remember walking into Mary Duffy's office a couple of days ago, and Joe Duffy was there showing off his new shoes, same as my own. And Joe and Sean were having a good chat. Mary was working in the background, and they were chatting about the good old days. These are good days, but the older days when Sean first started off, and we kind of went back a good few years, a little bit more than 27 years, and we went back to DCR days. And your next guest is Bobby McDade in the audience, and oh, Raymond O'Hara.
Oh, fantastic.
Welcome.
Fantastic. Wow. This is fantastic. Gosh. Well, this is great. You know, and I was going to mention these guys, and I hadn't a clue about any of this today. This has blown me away. They were telling me, are you going to be in the old studio? You're going to be in the old studio because they're doing up the new one, and you'll be sitting on the other side. And this has just blown me away today. And I wouldn't be here today without these two guys.
Oh, you're speechless, I understand. Bobby, take us back, like we're going back 27 years plus, and I suppose you gave Sean probably his first airing on radio, but it wasn't daytime radio, was it? You took a chance?
Well, we brought, Highland was closed at 1 a.m. We ran to 3 a.m. We weren't just as professional, we carried on. It was very busy in America at that time at night, because you had the massive factory Unify and the night shift workers, and there was more requests coming on at night than would have been sometime during the day, and the hospital and everything, all the nursing staff in the hospital, we were very busy. And anybody that wanted to come on to have a go, to get trying the radio, we gave them a chance, but we didn't do it. We closed down at 3 o'clock and we would open up again at quite past 3, and we would let somebody on to give them a bit of practice, see how they'd done, you know. Ray O'Hara, or Raymond O'Hara, we always called him Ray, and he was known as Rockin' Raymond, and you can guess what kind of program he'd done. I would be more into older country stuff and all. But Ray brought Sean up one night with him, just for Ron, and I was sitting back talking to Sean, and Ray was on the air. And he said, God, Bobby says, I would love to have a go at this. You know, I says, you know, you can have a go if you want to have a go. We'll put you on, you know. So they arranged up the following night, and he came up, and about when we closed down 3 o'clock, we put him on. He hadn't seen the mixer desk or knew what it was. We just set him down, and he put on the headphones and cleared his throat, and he says, hello, my name is Sean Doherty. You would think by my accent that I'm from England, but he says, I was reared and brought up in England, but I'm from Derry City. And he said, I'm very glad to be here with you all, and I'm going to play a few tunes now, and anybody wants a request, give us a ring. And you just knew by the aura of confidence he had that he was just a born entertainer, you know. And I had only been speaking to him very little at that time, you know. Ray would have known him better than I did at that time. So that's how he got up, started off with us, and so was the rest history, you know.
And I suppose, Sean, you have fond memories of those days.
Well, of course I do. And Raymond, who was, when I first came to the Derry, it was the Leckie family were my second family, and Raymond, who was your big pal too, and it was that's how I came to meet you through Raymond, who's gone to his rest now. But you decided to bring me up here, and maybe I tortured you.
No, I think actually Raymond introduced me to you, because Raymond and I were big friends, as you know. He introduced me to you, and then about 3 or 4 weeks later he said to me one day, you know, Sean's just sitting about the house and he's doing nothing, do you mind taking him up to
can you imagine?
I'm not sure what he was doing, but anyway, so I took you up and let you meet the guys and all, and say the rest is history. You went on to bigger things, and I'm just sitting here.
There you go. Well, the boss is here, you might get a job.
And as Bobby was saying there, I haven't seen Bobby for how long?
5 or 6 years, maybe. Probably.
Maybe I wouldn't have recognized one for the jacket. But they used to call me Rockin' Ray, and now they call me Rockin' Chair Ray. But now, Sean has been out in and out of my life for a long, long time. I remember when... I'll tell you a wee story, because I was going to say to Sean, I remember getting into a gig...
Be careful.
I remember getting into a gig one time, and I went to see a guy. I can't remember his name, but he did an Elvis impersonator. And the place was packed, so I stood at the bar. And this girl looked at me and obviously recognized me, and I was kind of pretty okay about that. And she would sit down, and then every time she'd come to the bar, she kept looking at me, And finally she came up to me and she says, "Aren't you Ray O'Hara, the DJ?" And I says, "Yes, I am. You're feeling good." She says, "I remember you whenever you're thin and good looking." Yeah. So I was going to say the exact same to you. But you are still good looking. I mean, I've heard you a few times on the radio, but I'm more into a personal life with you. I've been more of a friend than a listener, if you know what I mean. And you have gone from, I mean, you're top of the airwaves. And you deserve all you get, sir. You could be difficult in early days now.
What's changed? This guy was so good to me, and a great friend, unselfish, and he's been a constant. So thanks, Raymond. Thanks for coming up.
I think probably I've got to mention the sad thing about it is that Raymond's not here today, because John, as you know, Raymond was a real, 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 real gentleman. And probably it's because of him during Highland, because he asked me, and then we got... But we're all thinking about him today, because he was a really, really nice fellow.
10 years. Bobby, you and your family were a great part of my life. Obviously, I mean, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have been in radio. And you've always known that. I've always reminded people of that.
Friends for 30 years, actually.
Yes.
You mentioned briefly there about you and the Denims at Bonagie's show. That's where we had you the first time. We had Daniel up as well, yes. And the two of them were up at his back, a tractor and trailer, and the tractor was just attached to the trailer, you know. And I had to climb up on a chair, somebody could step it up on top of the trailer, and it was a muck spreader, more or less, you know. So things have changed slightly with technology, you know.
Health and safety.
So, Bobby, what do you want to say to Sean now before we move on?
Well,
We're going to miss him loads.
Of course, we'll miss him, surely. We're all mystified what's happening, but I suppose he'll tell us when he feels like it. I'd like to wish Sean all the best in whatever he chooses to do in his future career, because I can't see a young fella like that retiring, you know. So I wish him all the best, Marlon, myself, and the whole family. We're very delighted to get the opportunity to come on and say hello. Thank him, you know, for everything.
Thanks, Bobby. And thanks to Moore for coming. Lovely ladies sitting there in the second row. Great to see you, Moore. And thank you, Raymond. Great to see you.
No problem.
So, Raymond O'Hara, give them a nice round of applause. And Bobby Madey, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. So, Sean, we have loads of tributes and we want you to hear each and every one of them, because they're all for you today. This is all about you, because you always put everybody else first. And it's probably going to be hard just to sit there and it's all about me, because, you know, it's different. But
it might be hard for the listeners, but anyway.
We love you to bits, right? So this is a tribute. It's an Irish-born business. You'll probably work it out by the clue. Business executive and television presenter and, of course, owner of the wonderful Oakfield Park in Raphoe. Sir Gerry Robinson was very... very disappointed that he couldn't make it here today, but he wanted to send you his best wishes to you, Sean.
Well, thank you. Hi, Sean. I know that whatever you do, you will do well and with great confidence. But I'm truly sorry that we will no longer be hearing your comforting good sense on the airwaves. I will miss that. The very best of luck to you, Sean. We'll miss you.
Sir Gerry Robinson, thank you.
Wow. He's been a great friend, and he's been a great friend to me, but he's been a great friend to Donegal as well, a former Donegal Person of the Year, of course, too. So to him and to Heather, Lady Heather, thank you very much.
Well, Sean, our next guest, this is good. This is constantly going for you here today. Our next guest in our studio today, I'd like to welcome Seamus Neely, Chief Executive of the County's Administration for Donegal County Council, and Sean Murphy, General Manager at Letterkenny University Hospital, and Inspector Michael Harrison, the Head of the Gardaí Traffic Corps in Donegal.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming here this morning. Sean will be badly missed, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I suppose it's he leaves a fabulous legacy in the region. I was just thinking there as I was listening to you speaking to others. Sean commented on a lot of things that happened in this particular neck of the woods over the past 27 years, seen a lot of developments. But he made a huge contribution, and certainly from a county council perspective, we were always very pleased that the balanced approach that Sean took. Very clear that he had a graph for the area and looked at the positives where that was possible. But I think beyond that, I think it was fair to say that no subject was beyond the bounds of his commentary, provided it was relevant, and I think that was fair. And he was always very fair in his approach. I suppose social inclusion was something that was a significant objective of the council over the years, and I think Sean got into many homes that communications didn't get into before and became a stable there. So we very much thank him for that and the contribution that he made to the elimination of social exclusion in many places right across the county and across the northwest. And I want to thank him very much for that and wish him well for the future.
Lovely words, Sean.
Well, Seamus, thank you very much. Always a gentleman, and it's a difficult job, yours and mine can be at times, but when you're facing me or people from the council are facing me, it's more difficult for them than it is for me. And I've always been treated with the utmost respect by this council, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time out to come here today and to pay tribute to. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And Sean Murphy, General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital. You've been on with Sean so many times.
I'd be missing losing an old friend. Seamus said there a few minutes ago about balanced and fair and honest. And I had some very difficult conversations with Sean over the years. And I think it's the nature of healthcare. It touches all at a very personal level. It's our families, ourselves, or, you know, it's our future. It's, you know, health as well is so important to us. Sean has done so much to promote development of health services and healthcare in Donegal. He's kept healthcare, in particular the hospital, on the agenda. Sometimes, on occasions when we'd rather been off the agenda, because, you know, when you're busy trying to manage a service, then trying to explain simultaneously all the issues, it can be very time consuming. It can be distracting at times. I always felt that as hospital manager, I had a duty to keep in communication with the community. Sean provided that opportunity, but I would echo what Seamus said. There was always a sense of balance. Sean didn't shy away from asking the tough questions, embarrassing me at times, pushing me really hard. But it was always done with professionalism. It was always done with integrity. It was always done fairly and honestly. And Sean was always open to give both sides of the argument. And I think really wanted to understand and wanted to communicate to the public what the real issues were, not the hype, not the catchphrases, to actually try to understand and generate a real discussion around health. Sean and I have had a few conversations about actually the need for a really good discussion about healthcare, not about the latest crisis, the latest issue, but a really good discussion about healthcare. I'm really sorry we won't have that conversation because it would have been a really good show. And you've done so much, Sean, and you would be really missed in this county.
Thank you very much, Sean. Well, again... Again, I mean, some of the most challenging interviews over the years are obviously over healthcare and the hospital, and Sean he's never shied away. I mean, sometimes other organisations, and even the one he belongs to, might say, oh, he's not available today, or whatever, but he usually makes himself available, and that's what I always admired about him. And coming on and facing, and it's not easy on a live radio show when you come on and you have to address some of the most difficult issues. And sometimes at the end of the interviews, he would say to me, phew, you were very sore on me there. But we always shook hands, and we've always remained friends. And all through the flooding, I went down, he brought me down to see the damage, and it was horrendous. And the staff and the hospital and the people that he represents and that team at the Letterkenny University Hospital, we tend only to hear the bad things. We tend only to hear the negative things, of course, because that's, you know, the nature of radio, that people feel it's a voice where they want to complain. They also ring up and say when good things happen, but people tend to only tell us when bad things happen, be it the council or the hospital. But I can tell you that there's a great team of people down there, and that the work they do is fantastic, and you've been leading it for a long time, and thank you, Sean, for coming here today.
No, it's a pleasure.
And now we move on to Inspector Michael Harrison, and the head of the Garda Traffic Corps, and he was a little moment late, and he was out of breath up them stairs. You're allowed to be late. Welcome to the programme today.
Come on, Sean. I was driving up the high road there and just heard my name mentioned. I don't know who's in charge of traffic congestion around this time, but something needs to be done. No, I just want to thank you very much, Sean, for all the assistance that you've given us in Highland Radio over the years. It's, I think the first time I met you, it was in the back of the car park in Letterkenny Garda Station.
You're going to say the back of a police van.
When you've done your first day, when you've done your first one of your first shows on road safety in the county, road safety back that time, we nearly had a fatal collision every weekend, and this show has done an awful lot, and it's a very, very uncomfortable subject, you know, to talk about every day, talk about to go on the Highland every morning after a fatal road traffic collision and appeal for information to the public in the county. And, you know, that's something that I have to say that your show has been responsible for, you know, for people lifting the phone, making calls to us and giving us information. And I always say after every show, you know, when we're looking for the information, the reason we want it is for the families, the people left behind, the people who are suffering. And without Highland, we wouldn't have got that information. But also, I've been speaking to some of my colleagues, some of the superintendents and inspectors, and they want to wish you well as well, because you've allowed us to make appeals for crime investigation, missing persons, everything with the guards. And without the Sean Doherty show and the assistance that we get from Highland Radio, it would be very, very difficult. And you've always been very, very understanding with us. If there's at times we're just not able to come on, we're just not able to give the information, and your show, your Caroline, and they've been always a great help to us in Garda Síochána, and really and truly just wanted to wish you the very, very best with anything you're going to do. I'm just out of breath. It's been a rush to get here, but the very, very best from everybody in the Garda Síochána, Sean. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Inspector.
Big thanks to our guest, Inspector Michael Harrison, the head of the Garda Traffic Corps, and Donegal, Sean Murphy, General Manager at Letterkenny University Hospital, and Seamus Neely, Chief Executive of the County's Administration for Donegal County Council. Sean, last night in the kitchen, as you can imagine, all the team in Highland were putting a lot of work in preparing the room and that, and keeping this as the biggest surprise as we could for you, because you mean so much to us. And so, as you can well imagine, thank you so much for all your texts and emails and comments, phoning in and people dropping in gifts for Sean. And no doubt he has read them all so far and he'll continue to read them. But Sean, I was in the kitchen table last night and I was going scanning through because I wanted to read some of them out to you. And there was one, you have a catchphrase, do you know that?
Yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
It's not Don O'Doherty's. I nearly said that one. Then.
No.
If you see someone without a smile, whatever you do it nicely, do it safely. Most of all, do it with Highland Radio.
Yes. And you have another one. It says, I'll see you after the break.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a break.
So, see you in a couple.
You probably got time to kind of, as they would say, suck it all in. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling nostalgic, very nostalgic and very touched. And I'm so shocked and I didn't expect any of this. And I'm still in shock, to be honest with you. And I know there's a lot of people downstairs. So when this is over, I'll go down and hopefully say hello to all the people too, because I know there's only so much space in here, but I'm just spotting faces all the time from here, from now, and the past, and everything else is so. It's like this is your life, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and we're streaming on three cameras on Highland Radio's news page and website page as well. So everybody around the world is tuned into us today, Sean, to see you, ma'am. And we want to just wish you the very best in the future, the next chapter of your life. Just some comments that came in. James McGettigan Gouldy says, "So sad to hear you're leaving Highland. I have some fantastic memories of our chat on air and off air, Sean." Another one for Marina in Buncrana: "It's been a great pleasure listening to you over the years. You'll be missed more than the Irish sunshine." Lovely. And Sean, I know we all say that one person and never made a team, but there are exceptions to the rule. You were Highland Radio. So sad to hear that you're leaving. Good luck in the new venture and you'll be greatly missed. God bless, good luck and good health, Sean.
Thank you. Thanks for all of those lovely people.
And there's hundreds, if not thousands, and we'll do our best throughout the programme today to go through to them. But we're going to John Breslin, who had nice words to say about you this morning when you were talking to him. And John's over there with the microphone.
Yeah, down the back. They're keeping us ordinary folk here down the back. So high up the front. And just have some people here because the room is packed, as you can see, and there's some people down here who, of course, all have an association with Sean, and the man just beside me here from the very early days, Paddy Keeney, who was on the board of directors here, and of course a presenter for many's a long year, and you would have remembered Sean from the very start, Paddy.
Well, I was involved in giving this job that he's given away today, so that was, of course, John, it's a sad day for us indeed, because Sean was the foundation, that the program was the foundation, and ironically at the very start, the day we opened up here, he didn't have a job, and he was an example to young people to hang in there, because after about 3 days, Donal McLaughlin, the late Donal, God rest him, myself were watching him, and Sean continued on to work here. He was on the suspense, obviously, but we saw the potential in Sean. And the talent potential, as my father always said, if you find somebody with a talent potential in your path, then encourage that, don't crush it. Unfortunately, in the field of broadcasting, there's a great tendency to crush talent rather than promote it. But I'm grateful that we saw that potential in Sean Doherty the first week, 3 days here at Highland Radio, and the board appointed him as promotions manager. Great success for Sean, a great success for Highland Radio. Then came along the broadcasting. Somebody didn't turn up for the drive time show. Sean sat in. 2 weeks later, he sat in for the breakfast show. It wasn't long before he had the morning show. And it's all been uphill since.
Thank God they didn't turn up.
So it was a rapid rise.
In a sense, yes, it was. And then just beside us here, John, and I met her on the way in, was Maureen Gibbons, who was the producer then of the Sean Doherty Show. And Maureen didn't have email. She didn't have text. She didn't have Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, you name it. She did everything on the phones, and Highland Radio was making the front page of the Irish Independent quite regularly, and stories that the Sean Doherty Show was covering. And of course, 1990 was a terrific year because we had Paddy Boner and Italia 90. Then we had the All-Ireland in 1992, which gave great momentum to the station. So we had a lot of things fell into place for us as well. But this is the man here who anchored all that. As I said too many years ago, Sean, you're Gay Byrne, you're Marion Finucane. You've got that professional balance. You also had the compassion of a great man in this town, John McIntyre, former editor of the Donegal People's Press, the late John McIntyre, who had compassion as a journalist. And I believe that all good journalists have compassion. And Sean Doherty had all those things.
Just to wish you, Sean,
all the very best for the future. Whatever you're going to do, we'll be waiting for the press release.
Okay. Well, Paddy, you are the foundation. You and I see Mary and I see Belly, and I know there are people that have gone to the reward as well who aren't with us today. The cornerstones, the people, the foundation stones, there would have been no Highland without you. And not only in your capacity as the man who put the masts up and did all the technical work here, I mean, it was absolutely astonishing what you did and your directors in bringing this station to where it is today. And of course, I want to say hello to you, Kathleen, as well, your good wife, who's a good friend of mine over the years too. And I'll never forget the chance I got from you, and not only then, but throughout all of the time that you were here, because you were so supportive of me, committed to me, encouraging, and I'll never forget that. And thank you, Paddy.
There's another man here who was on the board of directors back in the back at the very start, and also did a program, Billy Patterson.
Thank you very much. Can I hold that phone? Because I think I would like to tell you the real reason why Sean Doherty is leaving today. All right, can I do this?
Go on, tell me.
We had to let him go. And I'm going to tell you a story, and if you believe it, fine. Half of it is true and the other half is not. But when Sean was interviewing people who irritated him slightly, and it happened occasionally over the years, he would be boiling, and you could see it in his face and his manner, but he would close his microphone quietly, and then he would start pounding the desk. Yes, and when he had vented his spleen and got it out of his system, he opened his microphone again and was just as nice as pie to the person on the line. So 27 years of pounding that desk reduced it to splinters. Now, we've just spent a fortune putting in new stuff. Do you think we could risk that again? Absolutely not. So one of them had to go. Sorry, Sean, had to be you. And if you believe that, you believe anything.
Billy. And Billy, again, goes back with me a long, long way. Highland, and before that, I interviewed him on DCR when he and Karma were heading off on some kind of Sahara and whatever or other it was. He does those kinds of things. He still rides a big motorbike, and he's forever young, and he's been a great friend. You know, he's helped me in so many situations, difficult situations in life, and Billy and Carmel and the family have been there. Thank you, Billy.
Just looking around, there's so many people. If we chatted to everybody, we'd be here all day. But media commentator, political analyst, have I described you correctly? Roy Greenslade.
Oh, gosh.
Roy. How are you, Roy?
All I can say is that I once used to be a broadcaster and I was extremely bad at it. You are the most natural broadcaster I've ever heard. Oh. A terrific interviewer.
Thanks, Roy.
And it's been a pleasure listening to you over these years. And in fact, even though I spend 6 months of the year in Brighton, I still hear you because my wife, a Donegal woman, Noreen, insists that we listen to the Sean Doherty programme online every morning. So you're with us all the time. And it is a great loss to Donegal, to all the people in Donegal that you are leaving. I'm very sad, and I think it's really, really, if I may say so, selfish of you to give up on us. Anyway, we wish you the best, whatever you're going to do. We love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Roy.
And Donegal Person of the Year from our draw, Stephen McCahill. Stephen, you'd have been on the show a number of times.
I would indeed, John. You know, I'm Donegal Person of the Year, but for the over 25 years, Sean Doherty was the voice of Donegal, very much so. You know, I was just thinking all politics is local, but local radio deals with local issues, and you probably dealt and got more things sorted for us than we maybe got in Leinster House often. I also think that, you know, people compare you in the Gay Byrne, Terry Wogan mode, like you're not any of those two. You're Sean Doherty, and you're equally on the same platform with them, and your quality is exemplary. And like, it's a sad day for us all, because quality like that does not come around every day. And on behalf of Donegal people, ordinary people, I want to wish you health and happiness in the years ahead, Sean.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
One more, Lee.
Okay, John.
What about Maureen there? Ah, Maureen, I'm just spotting her at the back there. And, of course, our previous producers, Maureen Gibbons.
Maureen Gibbons. Packy referred to her earlier.
I want to mention Mary Garvin, Lisa Burke, previous producers of the show. Maureen was there right at the beginning.
Trying to get people on the phone.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I was there the day he walked into the station the very first time. And if my memory serves him right, he came in not a hair out of place, pristinely dressed, shine on the shoes, still the same. And he straight away, he stood out really from the crowd, I suppose, us rough and tumble crowd that were already in. I have to say, in the beginning, when Highland Radio started, it was difficult from the point of view, Sean, you will remember, that people on the morning show didn't really want to talk or air problems, because it was a new, really new thing for them. And somebody would ring up with a problem and I would be saying, OK, great, Sean, I'd love to talk to you. And Sean's inside going, get them on, and all the facial expressions going.
Don't
and
give this, it all away.
This person is saying, you know, oh, no, just tell them I wouldn't like to go on now because they'd know my voice, you know. And there was,
that's why everybody was called Mary.
And
still
we had some mad ideas as well. I was just saying to John, imagine we tried to actually teach people German. Do you remember that, Sean? Do you remember
kind
us
of,
teaching?
Yeah.
Yes. And we had great fun, mad times, extremely enjoyable, and we really had a good time. And I have to say, Sean, as Paddy Keeney mentioned, when Sean arrived at the radio station, you know, nobody knew if he could do interviews or not, sort of thing. And Sean took to research so quickly, and he has a great ability, someone's mentioned before here, to listen to what's been said. And a lot of broadcasters line out their questions and don't listen to the answers. Sean is extraordinarily good at listening to answers and picking up. And he's also extraordinarily good at taking one story and remembering a similarity or something that was said from a previous story that might be a year ago, and pick up on it. And Sean, you are an extraordinary broadcaster. Well done to you on the years of broadcasting. It's not easy. And well done to you, and wish you every happiness for the future.
Thanks, Mo. We're great days. Thank you.
Thank you to John and our guest speakers this afternoon. And Maureen just mentioned about teaching German. And funny, when I was scanning our comments and the well wishes that we're getting for you, Sean, it says, "Morning, Sean. I'd just like to wish you all the best. As a 40-something mum of two grown-up kids, I have listened to you since you were on The Breakfast Show before I headed off to school in the early 90s. A lady trying to teach you to speak German sticks in my mind." So there you go. So we have another tribute for you, Sean. RTE's presenter and host of The Late Late Show, Ryan Tuberty, was honoured to pay tribute to his fellow broadcaster, and he had this to say about you, Sean.
Hi there, this is Ryan Tuberty here. Sean, this is directly at you, because we've met down through the years, we've spoken on the phone and on your radio programme, and it's always been a pleasure. You are one of radio's gentlemen, and there aren't a heap of them around, so it's a real pleasure for me to be able to come on this morning to wish you well into the future, because you're too young to be retiring, obviously, but you have a wealth of experience, a wealth of skills, a wealth of talent to bring wherever you go next in your life. But I wanted to say thank you for including me on your program down through the years, but more importantly to you and your family and your friends, have fun, I think your listeners are going to miss you more than you might miss them. Could that be true? It's unlikely. But either way, good luck with everything. And I hope you get the best in life, because that's what you deserve. Thanks very much indeed.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
And I should say, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting Ryan on a couple of occasions when I've been invited down to the Late Late. And I could say the same about him, because he's such a nice, gentle guy when you meet him. I mean, obviously, when you see him on the show, you can see that he's a very nice guy, but he's equally as nice when you meet him in person, as you would know, Buster, because you meet him on many occasions, who you'll be hearing from later, I'm sure. But he's a really great guy, and I appreciate those words from
him. He sounded a little bit worried to me, Sean.
Well, I heard there was a cartoon in the... Was it the Jacarno Tribune, was it?
Yeah.
With, he was in the office, and his manager was talking to him, and I was peeping round the back door, and he was looking nervous. He's nothing to be worried about.
Well, brought to you by the Errigal Arts Festival. From 4th to the 23rd of July, 20 days of family fun, music, theatre, circus, visual arts, and more.
It's a very emotional day for everybody here today. And Sean, we're not doing too bad, are we?
Yeah, we're doing great. And I'm settling down now. It's a bit of a shock, a bit emotional coming in and seeing my twin sister, my sister Marie, which everybody had kept as a surprise, including them. And Maria, actually, my sister who's here, texted me this morning to say good luck. I hadn't got a clue, never thought about that at all. And then she walks with my twin sister, who I haven't seen for ages, because I should be going home more than I do, but I haven't been. And so they've come to me, so that's great. And Eva and Dean are here as well. And Gareth's just come, and it's great to see him as well. And Marion, Eamon, and Tony, and Anne, and oh, there's so many people here. I've just seen May as well at the back there, and it's great to see you, May Doherty, and of course Bernard Barney, who was such a big part of this station. And if anybody looks at the award I got, the one big one. It's got cobwebs on it, but it's got one name on it, and it's Barney Doherty, who was one of the founding directors of this station and a man we still treasure and love. And I'm glad to see you there, May. Thanks for coming.
Well, Sean, we're moving on to your next guest this evening, and he's in the front row. I'd like to welcome Dr. James McDay, chairperson of the Donegal Hospice. Dr. James, thank you so much for coming today. It's, it's a funny kind of day for us all here at Highland.
Yeah, it's a funny kind of a thing for myself as well. So, not so much that I haven't been in this position with Sean previously, but basically you're going to hear so many adjectives, and you know, all of them absolutely deserved. So, you know, I wouldn't in any way try to be repetitive, but you know, I got a position over there on the front seat, and there's a piece of paper under it, and written on the piece of paper is reserved, you know. So I got a reserved sign for it to come in here to see you, as if I had some sort of influence or whatever it was. But basically, the point I'm trying to make is, if you know, you've been so helpful to people, you know, you were able to console people, but what you did was that while many of us might have thought we should have been sitting in reserve seats, etc., you know, you actually empowered the other. You actually empowered the people. You know, you empowered the people of the Northwest. You know, of County Donegal, and that's a huge achievement to be able to bring all of those people, some of their, you know, some of their concerns, and you know, highlight those issues as well. So while we were, as I say, feel very, very proud to positions that we have been actually voted into or allocated. I think that you did the opposite. You know, the fact that they made your show, that they were able to talk to one man instead of looking for so many, I think that'll be the tribute that, you know, what a lot of Donegal people are trying to say here this morning, you know, that you actually empowered them. And you hear it from all over the place. And, you know, I saw Sean Murphy, and basically my life has, you know, it's been all medicine, hospital, and history and politics. You know, you had the situation where you actually had us all. And you talked earlier on about you had so many words. You know, I think I gave you a few subjects that we over the 21 years that we were able to, that, you know, might have been shall we say, very talkative at the time. But you used to have, you say that you had one or two words that you had, you know, would not do it with Highland Radio or whatever. You had some other ones that I think other people like myself dreaded at times, was that, you know, you were talking away, the subject was going, and there was, you know, perhaps getting heated or whatnot. And you had, now, Jimmy, would you pick up those headphones? And that wasn't, those type of things were little things that you
that
can remember.
The caller was on the way, yeah.
That you could, you knew there was a caller on the way, whether it was going to be, well, good or bad. But from all of that point of view, the one point that I did want, as you quite mentioned, Lee, is that you were so good to all of us, and me in particular, but for the help that you gave to the Donegal Hospice, you know, that's, you will, in many, many areas, you've been of assistance to so many, many people, but in my own position, I would like, on behalf of the Donegal Hospice, to say how delighted we were of your help right down through the years. And, you know, the great, we've been talking, actually, I'm going to just put this to you to think about, you know, down through the years, we've been thinking about, you know, a patron for the Donegal Hospice, and there's so many, many people that we wanted to consider to be a patron of the Donegal Hospice. The great Seamus Heaney, for example, was patron of the Foyle Hospice. And when you were in an active position, of course, we weren't able to debate the subject, but we did debate it last evening, and it's coming at a really wonderful time for the Donegal Hospice. We're about to expand, we're about to renovate, we're doing an awful lot of things. We've got exceptionally good bank account on account of the people of Donegal. And the meeting here last night, the patron was brought up again. So in your due time, in your own time, I've just, and by the way, nobody else has been approached, I would ask you to think about becoming the patron of the Donegal Hospice. And
well, given the background I have with my mother and her cancer journey, who died, and my brother who died, and sister who died, and we've had a lot of cancer in our family, but I was always very closely associated as well with the Foyle Hospice, and if Seamus Heaney is good enough for the Foyle Hospice, then I'm certainly happy to take on the Donegal Hospice. Oh, yeah.
Well, congratulations to Sean Doherty, Donegal Hospice patron, and congratulations once more. And Dr. James McDade, do you know, you're a doctor, I suppose, and you help so many people, but you know, I was reading all these comments and stuff, and like the rest of the team here, and Sean has helped so many people. And I was kind of saying to you, Sean, during the week, like, you probably help so many people, and you don't realise that you've kind of helped them along their way, you know, taking callers and helping them with their different situations. He's like a doctor himself.
Well, exactly. Sometimes when I'm writing out a prescription, and you know, perhaps somebody has arthritis, I would love to write, I'd go to the Bahamas. You know, it's a lovely hate, but unfortunately, I'm prohibited from doing such a thing. Yes, but in effect, you're quite right. The help that you were able to do, and that you were able to provide through the media, through a place like Highland Radio, which, you know, really is become synonymous with County Donegal and its people, and you know, nobody knows why you have retired, but well, what we want to do is make sure you wish you good luck. But you have that effect on people, and I'm not saying that you're, yes, of course you're a good friend of mine, and I'm not going to say anything nasty, nor do I have anything nasty to say about you, but you have that effect. You have that effect on people. And, you know, I'm delighted to say that I can regard you as a good friend of mine. And you know, that, not alone, that's from me, but, I mean, so many other people feel good that they're able to actually express the same situation.
The measure of the man is that, despite our good friendship over the years, Jimmy never got and never wanted, never asked for an easy time on radio. And he was one of the most forthright. Sometimes I'm sure his party would have taken him in and said, stop going on with Sean Doherty.
Patron of the Donegal Hospice, well, congratulations. Now we have another special tribute for you, Sean, from the incumbent Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of All Ireland, Eamon Martin.
Hello, this is Archbishop Eamon here. I just wanted to give my very best wishes to Sean. I've always found him interested, someone who wants to know where I'm coming from on whatever debate it was. And I think that's a great skill for any radio broadcaster. But of course, Sean's a great person as well. I've always found him to be someone who had a deep spirituality and a great sense of understanding of people. So I'm hoping that whatever he chooses to do now in his great work, where he's always reaching out to the marginalised and those in need, that he gets as much fulfilment from that work as he got from his work with Highland. So today, on behalf of everyone, I just want to wish him every blessing. Godspeed. Look after him wherever he goes. And please God, we'll see him again sometime soon.
Thank you. Lovely words, Sean.
Thank you very much to the Archbishop for very, very kind words, and a very proud day for Derry, of course, when the man from Pennyburn was declared to be the Archbishop Primate of All Ireland. So nice of him to take time out today.
We have some more messages. There's loads, hundreds coming in this afternoon. Best wishes to Sean. I am heartbroken, comes in for Francis. You're breaking hearts today. Do you realise that, Sean? Oh. Do you know what the saying is? And honestly, we're not going to know what we... You don't know what you miss until it's gone. You know, we're grand today, but, you know, it's next weeks and months and stuff. But best wishes to Sean. I listen every day. You are a great character. My mornings will never be the same. That comes in from Bridget.
Neither will mine.
Oh, we could soon sort that out in the flash. Sean, can't believe you're leaving. Loving you, having you in my kitchen in the morning, wishing you the very best in the future, that Sheila and Karen Donna. And as well, we have, dear Sean, I know what my husband Peter is going... I don't know what my husband Peter is going to do now. You told us that you're retiring. He thoroughly enjoys listening to your program here in London. Wish you all the best in the future. Many thanks for all your past programs. That's Mary Devlin.
Thank you, mate. Somebody else said I was retiring, not me.
Great.
76 now, is it? You can be at least now. What is it, Jimmy?
It's changing.
It's changing. Well, we're moving on to our next guest, and I'd like to welcome the Mayor of Donegal, Jerry McMonagall.
Oh, thanks, Jerry.
He's just making his way up through the crowds here. Sean, you were kind of expecting something, weren't you?
Well, I knew I was being moved to the other side of the studio. That's what I was told, and that I would be sitting sideways. And I said, oh, God, do it from there. And then this happened. There you go. We're getting the chain and all. This is good stuff.
Wow, we have the mayor. Yes. Sort out the microphone for you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you for being here today. Fond memories of working with Sean?
Very much so, Lee. I mean, you've heard all the testimonies and the accolades that have been paid this morning. I don't know if I could add to them, but I'll try. I think Sean showed, like, it was an institution. It was something that everybody in Donegal, Derry, Tyrone, got up there in the morning, turned on to hear the latest news and views. And it wouldn't have mattered if it had been a cat up a tree or somebody awaiting a very serious operation. Sean brought the same compassion and passion to the conversation and gave everybody the rightful place and the space to tell their story. And I think that's what was the secret and the success of the show, Sean, in that everybody felt loved. Everybody felt that they were valued as much, whether you were the Archbishop or you're the wee woman in Gidore or Kilcar or Lifford, you know, and that's a testimony to the professionalism that you showed during all your years here at the Highland Radio.
Well, again, thanks very much. I don't know what to say after all these words, but the thing you touched on there about, you know, ordinary people or archbishops, that's it doesn't make a difference. In my eyes, when I'm talking to people, I'm talking to the individual, and it has been the ordinary people. It has been the mother or grandmother in Gridore who called about something that was very, very sensitive at the time and opened her heart to me. And there are so many moments over the years, you know, with yeah, people like that. And the young man on this week who rescued the girl in the fire. And people who are not used to radio, have never been on radio, who come on. And I know how difficult it is for people to sit opposite me or to be on the phone to me because they're on radio. And all presenters know that or should know that. And you never forget the honour that you have in being that space for them, and I think that's what you need to remember as a presenter. You're just facilitating people, and you know it's our job. It's harder for everybody else when they have to come on and they know everybody's listening. We don't think like that because it's a day-to-day job. We think of one person, and that's something I did all my life, you know, with maybe you've talked about the person in good or whatever, is I focused on that individual or speaking about, imagine I was speaking to me mom or somebody, you know, and that made it easier for me. So that's probably why you said what you said, but it's just that this is what Highland Radio should be about, and that this radio will continue to be about Highland Radio. She's a very big ship. She's just moving on and dropping me off at this port, that's all. And there'll be somebody else doing this same thing, listening to people, and as long as that happens and carries on, she'll have a great future.
I remember, earlier this week, Sean, I don't know, it was after 12 o'clock when I was picking up my kids, and that I was listening to your program, and you had Henry Spratt, and you were chatting about some kind of cream that he got from Dr. Podmore and stuff. And I remember you saying, this is what I'm going to miss. You had three callers online, and it was just such a natural conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you're going to miss them.
Oh.
You're going to miss them because they're all your friends.
It just hasn't felt real the last couple of weeks since I made the decision, because in every show, I've enjoyed every show. Some shows you more enjoy more than others. Some shows I come off and I say, I was rubbish today. Oh, and I go home and I give myself a hard time. And I've always done that, you know. And then other days we'll have the shows like that and you say, oh, I really enjoyed that show, you know. I mean, that's the way it is. We're people and we feel that way when we're broadcasting. But that was just a particular interview this week where you had the three. And people come up and ring in and tell their stories, you know, Jerry. Yeah. And you get these stories that maybe they've never told before, or especially about maybe older times and that, you know. A lot of young people say, gosh, I love listening to that because I didn't realize, you know. And you get somebody else ringing and say, oh, I remember that too. And I think that's what you're talking about this week, isn't it? And then you get three people and you get, you know, the views, and everybody's given a different one, and one louder than the other. And that's great radio. And I'll miss that
when you go back and remind people come in and phone in about their days 40 years ago, like a few weeks ago, working in England.
Yes.
And all the trials and tribulations, and then the amount of people that affects in this county.
Yes.
The amount of people that phoned in. So you know, the outreach of this station is phenomenal. How they deal with all of them issues, and it brings back all the memories, some good, some bad, but in the main, they seem to be all good. But I think that's what you've done. You know, you've ignited people's memories. You've made them sort of be proud of who they are and what they achieved in their past life. And a lot of people may not have known that there, but for your radio show and for your ingenuity in identifying a subject that has appeal and what, you know, and giving people their space. So, you know, we're all very appreciative of that. And I know Jimmy was saying earlier that put on the headphones, but I know as a local councillor, being on the show, and it's served the politics well, because you've been very fair, but you've been to the point. And the worst thing you can hear when you think you're on and just talking about an issue that you want to be heard on is that, I'll just go now to you. And then you go, here we go. You know, but that's it. You've been very firm, but you've been very fair. Okay. And I think taking the level where it needs to go, in that the wee man, the wee woman around the county was always heard. And I think that's a testament and a lasting legacy for your show, Sean.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you.
Great words from the Mayor of Donegal, Jeremy Monaghan. Thank you so much. Sean, I suppose it's hard to imagine, like, when you're broadcasting that we talk to one person, but, you know, there's thousands, possibly 100,000 listening to your program or whatever, or more with online and such. They mean so much to you, the listener.
Everything, you know. Donegal means everything to me. And Derry, Tyrone, we've got great listeners, but they know that I'm going to say this. They know why I'm going to say this. Donegal is so special to me, the people, and how they kind of adopted me, really.
Yeah, well, Sean, you're like a brother, as I said earlier, a brother, a father figure. You're like a best friend to us all, and I think we'll all say that. Catherine Gaffney has been out and about, yes, but you probably looked at her and think, gosh, she's white tired looking, yeah. She's a bit of makeup or something. Well, she's travelled throughout every pocket of the Northwest, and we have these messages for you.
I am so brokenhearted, and everybody I talk to are so brokenhearted as well. It will never be the same. He was just fantastic.
Well, the good thing with Sean is just a pillar of Highland, like, you know, and the coverage that he gave on topics was very much in to what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about, and he could take the best out of people when interviewing them. And he'd be sadly missed, like, because he'd been there a long time. So, wish him well.
Well, I think it's more the debates. He always had a wide topic, range of topics, and I like he gave everybody a fair shout. And if you phoned him about something, he always brought it up or got some way to bring it up, you know. But he'll be missed, man. He'll be missed on Donegal and further afield as well. So I'll say that all the listeners on Donegal will miss him a lot, and I wish him all the best.
We will definitely miss him. We'll miss the banter, his serious subjects, but also his funny subjects. He's a great player, great person, great person.
I couldn't help but notice there that you're listening to Sean
every day.
What do you think about him going?
I listen to him every day. It will be a big change. It will be a big change. But just I wish him all the best. Miss him.
Well, it's the end of a legend when Sean goes from Highland. I don't know how people are going to live without him, because everybody looks forward to Sean in the morning. But I have known Sean since DCR times, and I would have remembered him well with festivals. He was so helpful and happy to do what we were to help us do what we were doing. He was always there for us and for anyone that needed any help or wanted something talked about. Sean was there, and he's going to be very, very, very sadly missed. It will never be the same without him. There's nobody will replace Sean. You're all very good up there, but Sean has been there so long, and he's part of the furniture, and I just hope everything goes well for him wherever he goes.
Time check.
Oh, we might get another time check out of you. Who knows? Loads of best wishes coming in to you, Sean, from Mary Ward and all from the Mary from the Low Festival Committee.
Thank you, Mary.
That you've done for them throughout the years. And on behalf of the Donegal Association in London, they would like to thank you, Sean, for giving the people of Donegal a voice on so many diverse topics over the years.
Thank you.
You have brought tears of laughter and joy to so many people, and you are the people's champion. Your sweet dulcet tones will be sadly missed on Highland Radio. Our mornings will never be the same. We wish you every success in your pursuits of your dreams. That's Colette Connolly, Secretary of London Donegal Association.
Thank you.
So, Sean, more tributes for the man of the moment. So, Sean, well-established as one of the most accomplished and innovative celebrity chefs from Donegal, Brian McDermott wanted to say these few words to you.
Hi, Sean. It's Chef Brian McDermott here, and I just wanted to say a big, massive thank you to you personally. For people like myself who are looking to get a career off the ground, build a brand, you know, and take it to local level, regional level, you know, yourself, the Sean Doherty Show, that platform has allowed me to showcase what I do. So I'll be personally forever grateful to you and to Highland Radio for that. I mean, very funny. My mum, for example, I mean, in everything that I have had good in my career, I could be sitting on Gay Byrne's knee on the Late Late Show, or it could be with Ryan Tuberty, or it could be on BBC, but none of that matters to her, because genuinely the only question she ever asks is, when are you on the Sean Doherty Show next? So that'll give you a testament to the power and the platform of your show. And for me, without a shadow of a doubt, it has been hugely important in the development and growth of my brand, and I know for many others. So I just want to say a big thank you to you personally, Sean, and wish you all the best. You'll be sorely missed on the airwaves of Highland Radio.
Thank you, Brian.
Moving on to our next guest. He's in the front row, and I know he's a great friend of Sean's and the whole of Highland Radio. I'd like to welcome from Mrs. Brown's Boys, the one and only Danny O'Carroll. Danny.
Jeez, talk about dragging it out. Will you just go already?
I was going to give you the hanky, Stanley.
Trust you. I got a phone call 2 weeks ago from Caroline saying that you were leaving, but I come up and do the show, that all your friends were coming up here and we're going to have a big surprise show. And all I was thinking was, I hope both of them turn up. So it's great to see a big crowd here for you today, Sean. It's like a bloody week, isn't it?
I was actually, he phoned me just after I announced it, and I was going into the loo and to have a cry. But anyway, no.
It is very emotional seeing your family walking in. I was getting a lump in my throat here. Listen, you are going to be missed.
Yeah, and he said to me, "What the?" And he used one of those Mrs. Brown words. Are you doing?
what are you doing? What's happening?
I'm having a break.
Listen, all the best on your new adventure. Keep in touch. I'm sure you will. I'm going to really miss you. You gave me my first interview ever on radio. Mm. I was crapping myself. And you made me feel so comfortable. I have to say, with all the interviews I've done since, nobody has matched you whatsoever. You have just been amazing. You captured all the hearts of Donegal. And now I hope you're proud of yourself, because now you've broken them all by leaving here today.
But you know what? His dad, of course, would always have come in and done the newspapers over the years. He's a very smart man, of course, as you probably know. And he had a great interest in politics, and he even thought about... He still does. But he was going to run even at that time. He may have even thought about running for politics at that time. And then this big thing happened. I remember you coming into the kitchen. It was your dad, actually, for an interview during the papers. And he said to me, "I'm going to tell you something. There's a BBC up in Chatham." And I said to him, you know this, Gareth, don't you? I said to him, "The BBC, when they get this, if they see your show on stage, I know this will happen. I said, they'll be making dolls of Mrs. Brown." And he laughed at me. He thinks he'll give me a hug. He's a big hugger. Like, they're all huggers. And he hugged me. And I just went from...
It just goes to show you how long... What you've done for us, Sean, as the company Mrs. Brown's Boys, since we were coming up here gigging in the small venues like the Green Lawn Theatre, you were always 100% behind us. You always... pushed us, you always gave us confidence that we were good every time we came in to visit you. And there really is nobody else out there like you. I just can't believe you're leaving radio. I really can't. It's going to be a sad day for radio today.
Well, apparently there's a part going in Mrs. Brown.
Well, listen, what a coincidence. Rory leaving Mrs. Brown and Sean Dyer leaving Highland. Do you reckon you could mince around the stage, Sean?
Let's just leave it there now.
Enjoy your new adventure. Hiya, Mammy.
Listen, great to see you. He's a great guy, I must say, because we had the big charity auction recently, and you do not know how good this guy... He won't be saying this, but how good he is. I mean, what you see there is what you get. He is so kind. He's so charitable. He is so giving. He came in and he sat in throughout the whole show when we were doing the big charity morning. And he didn't just talk. He put his hand in his pockets. He gave massive amounts of money and brought presents to auction, which made more money. And he does it all the time. I'm not saying you should go up now and look for money from him, because he's probably giving you. But he's a great guy, and Amanda and the family, and they're grounded and they're lovely, and they've been so good, and we're so proud to have you in Donegal. And I know for my sisters who've come as a surprise, and that blew me away today when I walked in, they'll not be talking about me in their show. They'll be saying, "Guess who we were sitting next to?"
It was great to finally meet you as well. I heard loads about you. Just should be ashamed yourself.
Good man.
Danny, the final few words to Sean today.
Sean, I think turning on the radio at 10:30, hearing your messed up accent.
What about 10 o'clock?
Or I get up at 10:30. So. But your messed up accent of the English Donegal, Derry, and when you go away on holidays and you come back, a bit of African in there. You really are going to be missed, and thank you from not only me and my family, but I'm sure from everybody in the room and in Donegal. Thank you for your words over the last 20 years, or whatever it was, forever.
Danny O'Carroll, Mrs. Brown's Boys. Thank you so much, Danny. Thank you. So, I'm looking at my good friend John Breslin. He's in the audience and he has a microphone. John.
Yeah, I do. I'm just going to wander over here if I can, because there's some other entertainers that maybe we could have a quick word with. And Dominic Kerwin, you've been on the show a few times, more than a few times maybe.
I have indeed. How many, I don't know, but I know Sean a long time. Probably back to the DCR days as well. Yep. Sean could tell you better than I, really.
Yeah, and DCR?
Yeah, the DCR days.
Alice is in Wonderland, the song?
That was the first of the singles, yes. I have to say, you know, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the Irish entertainers, and particularly country music in Ireland, that with Sean on the Highland Radio promotion, of course, with the man sitting beside me here as well, of course, Pia McCann, they have done so much for the Irish entertainers and country music in itself. Without a doubt, they are the number one. I've spoken to a few people from Donegal and surrounding regions within the last couple of days saying I was going this way. And everything I've heard today has been exactly what they think as well. He's going to be sadly, sadly missed, and we wish him all the best in his future. It's a pleasure and an honour to know you, Sean.
It's been a pleasure and honour to meet you. And I agree with you. And Dominic's been a big part of our lives here at Highland from the beginning, and of course before that, as you mentioned, Dominic, and you're getting younger looking. That's what sickens me. And sitting next to you, you know, and you mentioned the promotions, and my pal, my so good friend, Pierre McCann's there. And I'm not going to be mentioning lots of people, because I've been speaking to lots of people privately, and they know how I feel about them. It's impossible in a show like this to mention everybody, and everybody that I care about knows how much I care about them, I hope, and that includes people in this building and people who are not here anymore. They know what I think of them, and I speak to them privately, and I've spoken to some of them privately. Some of them sent me messages. They know what I think of them, and I don't have to be naming everybody. I need to mention Pierre, because he has been crucial to me in promotions with Mary Duffy, my good pal, I can't say too much about Mary because I'll start crying, but with Mary and Pio and what they've done for me in promotions when I started the promotions up many years ago through trips to see Joseph and the Amazing Technical of Dreamcoat and then all the concerts, and they've just been a massive part of the success of Highland Radio because the people were able to come along and see the presenters and be a part of Highland, so they're all one big family, and that's what it is like. So when you get a chance to book, I'll not be here, but go on those trips because they're great, and Galway's, I think it's sold out anyway, but that just gives you an idea, something like 7 or 8 coaches to Galway. That's what has happened with Highland Radio. And, you know, go on those trips and go to those concerts. There's a big one coming up in August. There you go. I'll get a plug in, even though I'm not going to be here. Pio McCann will be there comparing it, as he has done for the past 26, 27 years, this man here. And he's, along with his wife and his family, are great friends of mine. And a great friend to the country music industry. And I see my good pal Susan McCann beside Dominic there as well. I'm so appreciative of you coming down. But this man is a giant recognised by the Country Music Association in America. I didn't get that. What's wrong? He did, and he deserved it. So my good pal Pio and Mary Duffy, thank you both.
Well, Susan McCann, Dominic mentioned the support that Sean has shown to the Irish music industry down through the years, and you would have experienced that.
Indeed, I have. I'm on the road a wee bit longer than Dominic now. I know I did, and I mean it. But yeah, down through the years, from my start to come up to Highland Radio, Sean, I got to know Sean very well, and over the years that the did the country shows every few months to do them here in Donegal, and they give everybody a chance to come out and see the artists that don't work regularly, you know what I mean? So, and they kept, I mean, just a few months ago I was on air with Sean, telling him him and I had a good chat about you. And he went back that far that I couldn't even remember what he was talking about. But Sean, all I can say is I'm so glad to have your friendship over the years. And, you know, every time I see him, we can always have very personal chats. And I can tell him my tales of Owen, he can tell me his. And that's what friends are for. So good luck, Sean, in whatever you do. I love you dearly.
Thank you. I love you too.
Thank you, John. Thanks, Dominic and Susan. Sean, can I ask you, as you would say to your guest, can you put on the headphones, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. On the line, we have the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, the head of the BAI, Michael O'Keefe.
Good morning, good afternoon now.
Good afternoon, Michael. Thank you very much.
Hi, Sean.
Thank you, Michael, for taking time.
Yeah, listen, just ringing to say, can't believe it that you're going, because it's you've been a legend in Donegal and Highland Radio for so many years. Greatest ratings of anyone, I think, in the entire country for many years. And the reason you do that is because you do such a great program. So I suppose I'm just ringing to thank you for all the support and all the dealings you've had with you over the years, and to wish you every great success when you move on to Pastors New.
Michael, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your support all through the years. We've known each other for a very long time. We don't see each other very often. But every time I have interacted with you, you've been nothing but a gentleman, as you are, in a very, very difficult job, and managing to keep everybody feeling that they're special as well. And I appreciate your kind words today.
Well, I think what I would say, Sean, is that it's easy. The job is easy when we deal with people like yourself, because I think, you know, that obviously we're regulating, and the regulated entity sometimes doesn't want to be regulated. But I think the way we've operated, the way we've worked together over the years on all matters has been the way it should be done. It's professional, but I think also you have that personal dimension to it, which I think is important to us. That if there is an issue, we can ring you up, talk to you, and it'll be resolved. And to be fair, there has never been really any great issues with yourself and with Highland Radio. So it's hard to believe you're leaving, but sure, there you go. I know the people in Donegal will miss you greatly over the once you finish today. But they'll certainly have great memories of what you've done for them over the years.
Thank you, Michael.
Well done, Sean.
Michael O'Keefe, head of the BAI, Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. We have more tributes for you, Sean. Hopefully you can take them all in. The great-granddaughter of the famous Russian poet Alexander Pushkin and Duchess of Abercorn, Sasha Hamilton.
Hello, Sean. This is Sasha Abercorn here. And we've chatted on the air once or twice in the past when you've very kindly shown great interest in my project, which is very close to my heart, the Pushkin Trust. My project, which brings children together in primary schools from both traditions and across the borders. And it's been helping children really find their voice and express thoughts and feelings in a very creative way. So thank you so much for helping me spread the word. And I'd like to wish you every success in the days ahead in your exciting new life.
Good morning, Sean. I'd love to be with you on this very special day in your life, but unfortunately, as you'd understand as a broadcaster, some days you have to be in other places, and that's exactly where I am at the moment. So I just thought I'd ring in and wish you well, because I would not like you to disappear from our lives and from the airwaves without acknowledging the fantastic contribution you've made as a person, as a broadcaster, and as a person concerned with society. You've done an amazing job. You are the perfect example of what a broadcaster should be, asking the questions that the voiceless couldn't ask, demanding answers for them, and praising those who were doing good for the people of your community. A wonderful thing for community radio and the community like Highland was and is serving its constituency doing that well. I know that you've always been a deep thinker. You've interviewed me many times over the 27 years, and it's been a traumatic time for me, a traumatic time for the church. The questions weren't always easy. The questions weren't the ones I wanted you to ask, but without a doubt, they were always the right questions. I hope I answered them honestly for you. I must have, because a lot of people didn't like the answers I was giving you either. But you were always fair to the church itself, to priests in general, but you were always desperately accurate in knowing exactly, being able to separate exactly the difference between a man who should be doing good and a man who definitely wasn't. And that was a great contribution to society. I was speaking to you at the Nathan concert, and that's really the first time I'd heard of your decision. It's a huge decision, and I know exactly what it is, because I've been 27 years here at the Grand, and next week I'll be leaving as well from here. So it's a wonderful thing that you're doing that and that you have the courage to do it. I wish you well. I wish you peace. I wish you happiness. Nobody deserves it more. Thanks.
And that was a tribute from the popular Fermanagh priest broadcaster, Father Brian Darcy. Sean.
Father Brian Darcy is leaving after 27 years. I'm leaving after 27 years. I'm not going to the ground, just in case you're wondering. Thank you to the Duchess as well, because I was up with Billy once up at her place, and they were very kind to me, and they've done such great work, and my little... cousin's daughter in the Craigan in Derry was involved in that prize, and she remembered meeting the Duchess, and she said how humble and how lovely she was. So she's a very nice lady, and I thank her for coming on today too.
Lovely. So Sean, we're moving on to our next guest, and I'd like to welcome from the audience Bishop Ken Good and Bishop Philip Boyce.
It's like Christmas.
Bishop Ken and Bishop Philip Boyce, fond memories of Sean. You'd like to wish him well?
Oh, yes. We certainly would. Just sitting here, I have been conscious of something significant going on, and I think it's a refreshing and a healthy thing that's happening. And what I'm sensing is that Highland Radio is a station that is in touch with its community, and that Sean Doherty is a broadcaster in tune with his listeners. And there's something community building about all of this. This is the community, you know, and you, Sean, have been strengthening and building and giving heart to that community, and I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Bishop.
Well, Sean, I don't think we can add very many more or different accolades to the ones that have been expressed here all morning. But you certainly have been the voice of Highland Radio, and you have helped so many people in our county. And of course, we can't forget those in Derry and Tyrone as well.
Of course.
But you have helped so many people and got down to their level, and they were able to pick up the phone and ring in here as if they were ringing into a friend. There was no great separation between you and them. You were in the community of the community, and I think that helped really to make your show, and so many people have spoken so highly about it, and not only here in Donegal, we must remember, I think, also people abroad who are listening to you, and you are in some ways a connection between whatever country they're living in and here home in Donegal. So your influence spread far and wide, and I thank you for it. You've always been a good journalist, a good interviewer. You knew when to ask the hard questions. But you were always fair, I would say. Always fair and gentlemanlike and professional. So we thank you for that, and we'll miss you.
Thank you very much. And obviously this is a date we have every year, but normally it's at Christmas, and we've had it for many, many years when the bishops would join me on the Christmas show, which is a real special show every year, which we love to do, and I'm sure it'll continue. It's a great time, and it's Caroline's special time, and she puts so much effort into that. She starts the beginning of the end of the last Christmas for the next one, and the two bishops have been there for it all, and I'd like to wish you, Bishop Boyce, every happiness in your retirement, because you announced your retirement obviously a time ago, and now we know there's a new bishop on the way, and we wish him well. But you have made an extraordinary contribution with your gentleness, and that's how people will remember you, I'm sure, your gentle, peaceful way when you are around people, and your great goodness. And I wish you well.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. If I may add my words of commending you, Bishop, in your retirement, but also saying about Sean, I think one of the great things about your show is that it was not all about Sean himself. It was not a self-promotion exercise. You did not have an agenda that you were pushing. And I thought when you came in here today and saw these people, there were tears in your eyes because at heart you're a humble person. And humility is what draws you to us. And we sense that because you're not just pushing yourself. So, Bishop Boyce, all those things are true of you as well. There's a humility about you that we acknowledge too. No, it's quite true. And so I want to wish both of you God's blessing for the future.
Thank you, Bishop.
Bishop Ken Good and Bishop Philip Boyce, thank you for coming today, making this day extra special for Sean as they shake hands with Sean. We're streaming live on Facebook and Highland Radio's website as well. And thank you so much for all your messages. We will ensure that Sean gets each and every one of them. We have another tribute for you, Sean. And last year you received a special recognition award for your outstanding contribution to road safety over the years. And CEO with the Road Safety Authority, Moya Murdoch, wanted to acknowledge that today. And here's what she had to say.
Very sad to hear Sean is departing Highland Radio. He's been a great advocate for road safety throughout his years on Highland Radio. Sean has always been very conscious about trying to raise awareness and trying to improve the roads in Donegal. So we have to be very thankful for that. And in 2016, the Road Safety Authority were delighted to award Sean a special recognition award in our Leading Lights ceremony in December for all of his contributions over the years in road safety.
Thank you very much, Sean. The program, you can probably hear the everybody, the hustle and bustle in the background. It's a big day here for us, and we're getting on all right, I think. Sean, how are you?
We're getting on great. I'm settling down now. We can start.
It's going to be a long bit of getting used to it because we're losing a really good friend. And I'm going to lose a good friend too because over the years...
No, you're not.
No, well, I'm not going to lose you, but I'm going to miss you coming into the studio and having the crack with me. And Sean's been very good to me. And I suppose it's only this last couple of years that we kind of really got close with being involved with the Ray of Sunshine. We had the big fundraiser and you were so good because I had Noah, who has Down syndrome, and we did the fundraiser for Donegal Down syndrome as well. And so I really got to know you on Africa and the trips to London with the broadcast and stuff. And you see a different side of Sean when you're away and things like this. He's mighty crack. And I remember Sean, the three things that I remember, I'm going to be very quick, right, is Africa, the London broadcast live, and Crow Patrick. It was mighty crack going up, and we had the Ice Trekkers, Leslie and Dennis, and the whole team there. It was mighty fun.
It was hell on earth.
Yes, hell coming down. We didn't get down till about 12 o'clock at night. But so thank you so much for being a good friend, Sean.
Well, let me tell you, this guy is, and he talked about Noah there, Noah, he sends me little pitches in the morning, especially since I announced I was leaving. He must have thought I needed to be cheered up in the mornings. Oh, is he all right going into work? And he'd send me little clips of Noah taking some of his first steps as well, I think. And he's a great guy. He was born with Down syndrome, and he's been a blessing to their lives. And so this man has been a real blessing to Highland Radio, as you all know. And I was so happy when I turned around and saw that he was going to be doing this bit today, because he's a real pro. But he's also a great guy, and I'm delighted that he's sitting where he is today.
Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. So, almost it. I'd like to go to telephone lines, and delighted to have, we all know this guy, Packy Boner.
Packy.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Packy.
Yeah, good afternoon to everybody. And listen, sorry I can't be there in person, Sean. I'm down in Belfast preparing for BBC with the Celtic Linfield game tonight, and when Carolyn mentioned it, I had to get on to just congratulate you in first place for all those years listening into that voice, incredible voice. Every day turning on, and when you live abroad and you live in a place like Glasgow and it can be a bit dreary at times, and you turn on that radio at 10 o'clock and you listen to that voice, that distinctive voice. That's the great thing about radio, isn't it? You get to know these people through their voice rather than meeting them on a daily basis. And you've done a wonderful, wonderful job over the years, and we wish you really well. And I suppose the big moments that throughout my career and the likes of Shane and all the other sports people, that you brought that emotion back to the people in Donegal, even though we were maybe a distant place, and you were able to sort of do that for us. So thank you, absolutely thank you. And I just really love listening into you, and you will be missed. You will be missed. I don't know why you're leaving us.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I must say this because I was at Derry Airport a number of months ago, and this man was there, Paddy Bonner was there, and he was sitting quietly having a coffee and maybe reading the paper. And I just watched. I'd said hello to him, obviously, and I went away again, and I watched as everybody descended on him in the airport. I mean, one after the other after the other. And I just watched the time that he had for people. And I think that's a great testimony to anybody who's in his position. And sometimes, you know, maybe you just want a bit of peace. But he signed. Everyone was up with a camera at him. He's a great guy, and I'm so honoured that you took time out to pay tribute today, Paddy.
Delighted. Can I say to you, I know it's a loving this morning for you. Because I've listened
say
to everybody.
Say something bad then. Go on.
That's fantastic. But you know the way that you have to ask questions? You have to ask the hard questions at times, which makes it makes you a real presenter. Has anybody come up to you and given you a hard time afterwards?
Yes,
actually,
believe it or not, she's here. And I'll tell you, and she didn't know, and I didn't know until... are you getting embarrassed, Mary, or can we tell this story? I was... It must be... Oh, gosh, it's years and years and years ago, and there was a wedding in the Mount Erigal, and I come out, and somebody got on to me. Can I tell this story, Mary? Yeah. And this lady was standing on the steps with two other ladies, and she devoured me about the way I was... treating teachers, and she says, do you realize that? And I says, okay, I was trying to be nice. And then, like 15, 20 years on, we invited her to do the papers. I didn't know it was her. She had forgotten it. And then we were talking about teachers and how difficult it can be for teachers and for students with teachers. And the next thing, I looked at her and she looked at me, and it was one of those moments. It was you. So, that's the moment.
Well, I'll say this to you, Sean. You are not Damon Dunphy anyway of Donegal.
Thank you very much.
So now you can go and enjoy your life. I don't know what you're going to do, but you'll be sorely missed. And of course, whatever you do, we wish you well, and no doubt there's a big career in front of you, and we'll meet again somewhere along the way. But on behalf of all the sports people and all of us guys who live abroad, and it's brilliant listening to Radio Highland Radio on online now, just to wish you well, and thanks for everything you've done for us.
Thank you, Paddy.
Donegal footballing hero Paddy Bonner, and on the line we should have Derry-born singer, songwriter and wonderful pianist Mr. Phil Coulter.
Indeed.
Oh, my old friend.
Sean, I'm devastated to hear that you're leaving Highland Radio. For me, it will never just be the same. My visits to Donegal, which would always have included a visit in to see you and have a chat on Highland Radio, I always look forward to them. You were always one of those very adept broadcasters who made an interview sound more like a conversation between friends over a cup of tea or a glass of beer. You were a superb, absolutely superb broadcaster, very professional, very relaxed, always very well informed. It was always a joy to be in your company, both as a professional and indeed as a person. You'll be very, very sadly missed. I was actually looking forward. I'm going up to Donegal the first weekend in August over at the Fannin Festival and gigging over there. And I was looking forward to seeing Sean Doherty on my trip. Now you're not going to be there.
I know, but someone will be here and they'll always be happy to see you, Phil. And we've a great history going back a long way, and we've spoken not just about entertainment, but you've talked to me about some very deep and personal things through the radio. And always interesting, always there for me, and I appreciate it and taking the time out again today. And what a giant, what a legend you are, and all the music and all the songs. And people hear songs, and I mean, the Mandarin Palace in Derry, I don't know if they had to pay you copyright, because every time it's somebody's birthday, they have to play congratulations, you see. And how many people realize Phil Coulter wrote congratulations? So I'm sure you could earn a few bob out of it. You'll be happy to hear this. Stanley Elvis from the Mandarin Palace, every time he plays congratulations, don't forget to send that check to Phil Coulter.
I can tell you, Sean, that's a song. Congratulations is a song which has fed, clothed and educated several of my children.
Well, anyway, listen, and not just that, so many others, all those Bay City Roller hits and everything else. The Town I Love So Well was the first song that I ever really loved. I was living in London and I heard it there, and it's such a special song to me, and you're the genius that wrote it, and you'll always be remembered for that. And just a great pleasure that you would take the time out to come on today.
Well, here's something that has to be said, that people in my position, whether they be songwriters, whether they be recording artists, we are always indebted to people like yourself, Sean, because it is people like you who take our music, bring it over the airwaves, and take our music to the general public. You know, there's no point in me making a record and putting it on a shelf. There's no point in me writing a song and nobody hearing it. It's people like you that do a great service to our industry. You've been very kind to me. You've helped me immensely. As I say, it's always been a joy to visit you. You've been a great asset to Highland Radio, and you'll be sadly missed.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you. Phil Coulter.
And can I... Maybe I could just say, because I know Jerry's there, our chairman, and beside him Billy and Packy, and you know, I want to remember all of the boards of Highland Radio that I've been a part of and have been in my life and management throughout the history of Highland Radio. I want to thank them all for their support for me, which was unbelievable. And I wasn't always the easiest. Who is? And especially in a job like this, you can be as crabbed as a bag of cats, as the man says. So it can be difficult, but I've always had great support. So thanks to all the boards and all of the management teams over the years for all they've done for me.
We have another tribute for you, Sean. Nice.
Yeah.
Irish broadcasting legend and one of your many broadcasting heroes who honoured to be included to wish you the best of luck in the future, Gay Byrne.
Oh.
Hello there, Sean. This is Gay Byrne, and I'm calling you from Dublin. And I just want to include my voice in the dozens, if not hundreds, of other people who are wishing you well on this day. You've had a fantastic innings on your radio program and all of your work, nearly as long as the Gay Byrne Show, nearly as long as the Late Late Show, and that, as you know, in our business, is not given to many people. In your case, it was well-deserved, and I know that you will be a sad, sad loss, not only to Highland Radio, but to the people of Donegal who grew to love you so well, and to the people of radio listenership in general terms. And I just wanted to say to you that whatever it is you have in mind to do in the next part of your life, I wish you health. Above all else, I wish you health and I wish you contentment. I wish you health and contentment to take on whatever it is you want to do. And I know that whatever it is you take on, you will give it your all and you will give it your full enthusiasm and energy, and you will be entirely successful with that part of your life as with any other part of your life so far. So God bless you. Soar some corda, whatever it is you're about to embark on. Good nairi on boharlap, agus gadeishiv stam.
Legend Gay Byrne, and he was getting very emotional there, as we all are.
Well, I tell you, I can't tell you what that means, because, and Gay knows this because he mentioned it on one of his Late Late Shows, because I told him in an interview that when I was living in London, Channel 4 used to show the Late Late Show, and I used to see this guy coming on. I thought it was American at first, because the phones, there were funny phones they used, you know. And then I got into this program so much, and I loved it. And he was the mentor for me. And there's never been another Gay Byrne, and there won't ever be another Gay Byrne. And to hear him speaking like that, and in the way that he spoke, and with the emotion he spoke, I don't think you'd get a finer accolade. And that means so much. So thank you, Gay Byrne.
Yeah, and there'll never be another Sean Doherty either. John Breslin, come across to you, John.
Thanks, Lee. Just, there's been so many emails and texts and calls. Just to go through a few of them. I know we're pressed for time. Moya Rua, she's been on many times. Has been in touch just to send your best wishes, Sean. Somebody else says, I'm a mother in my 30s, and the Sean Doherty Show has been part and parcel of my life for as long as I can remember. You'll be so badly missed, Sean. I wish you every success in the future. All the best as well from Noel Cunningham, who's been in touch.
Thank you, Noel.
And Jimmy and Mary Hart, want to wish you the very best. And there's John McLaughlin at Inishowen Motors. On behalf of myself and my family and all the staff at Inishowen Motors in Malin and Drumkeen, just want to wish Sean all the best in the future. And just one more, wishing Sean all the best in the future. He wouldn't know this listener, but she's proud to say she has a photo of herself and Sean at one of the Highland concerts. Her husband was on air many times, John from Buncrana, who passed away in December. He always took all his complaints to Sean first, and Sean was a great listener. You'll be missed. If I didn't hear him in the morning, I took him with me to bed at night. Because, of course, the show's on at night, repeated.
And, thank you very much.
Okay, and our owner, Jerry, is sitting there to your left-hand side. And Jerry, obviously the show's been in such good hands over recent years. And that must have given you great comfort for a start.
Yes, absolutely. It's marvellous. And it's an emotional day for all of us. And it's hard to believe it. We're 9 years since we took over Highland Radio. And just look at the place now, and at the moment we're developing, as everybody knows, again. And it's just for the family, I must say, Sean, you've been so respectful. People that know Sean Doherty, I know him over the years, been calling Goa Bay since 1989. But Sean Doherty is one of the best Christians that I have ever met in my life. Loyalty comes number one to him. Absolutely, Sean, to us and to the family, that I would never forget it. So, Sean, I just want to wish you well in whatever you intend to do. You and I have had some private talks. I wish you well in your life, in happiness, and you couldn't be better and more loyal to us. And we've had a and her name is Deborah Brown, and it's called Praying Mantis. So would I like the board to just come forward even for a photograph and present you with this, Sean? Yes, please.
Nice round of applause, please.
I'd like to thank Janet Ross and Hazel. And Janet is from Ross Fine Art. And this is a once of, Sean. The mould was broken afterwards.
Wow.
And it's something that you'll have to treasure all your life in memory of Highland.
Thank you.
Thanks
very
a million
much.
For
Thanks,
everything.
Jerry. Thank you. And thank you to you, Jerry. And, when you're doing a show like this, for as long as I've been doing it, you don't always please everybody. So I want to say before I go to anyone who's ever been hurt by the show or anything that's happened on the show, it was never personal. Never personal. I never intentionally hurt anybody on the show. But I know people do because that's live radio. Sometimes things are said by me or others that shouldn't be said. So I apologize for that. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you listening. Those of you who've come along today, I know a lot of you are downstairs and didn't get up, but I'll come down to see you. But especially to you all for coming along today as well. And to our listeners. Is this my last shout?
I think it is, John.
To our listeners, and especially to you listening at home, who've been supporting me all these years. So, slán agus beannacht.